Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your host, Trebuchet. It is the week after WrestleMania. To my left, the one, the only, Chad Showtime Schultz.
As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we look around us to see we're the only ones left.
That's true.
Everybody else died at WrestleMania hangover.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of amateurs. That's their first time to dance.
You gotta prepare, man.
That's right. You gotta be ready.
Not a sprint.
We were on brownies. We were on Four Loko. Uh-huh.
I didn't touch that shit.
That's not what I'm telling anybody.
Well, that's fine. No,
there was bacon.
There was definitely Jägermeister.
There was Jäger.
I was drinking Smirnoff Ice at one point.
Judge me for Four Loko.
I'm not judging you. I just don't want you to be switching my good character. Telling them that I'm drinking Four Loko. Don't you put that on me.
But yeah, I think everybody else is sufficiently exhausted, but...
No, it's cool. Well, it is snowing in Michigan right now.
It is awful.
It's terrible. It's like April, what, like 13th?
April 14th. 14th. We are halfway through the month, and it is snowing.
It's stupid.
This is bullshit.
So, Tribute Time is going to be here, and we're going to...
we'll guide you through the snow.
Yeah, we're going into your ear holes, guys. You might want to hunker down.
In the ear.
Yep, we're just here to do that. What do we have that happened at WrestleMania?
So the pre-show kicks off with Tony Nese defeating Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy held that Cruiserweight Championship for quite a while.
He did. He took it off Cedric Alexander, right?
Yeah.
It would have been almost a year ago, I think. Mm.
I just seen Cedric Alexander come up in NXT, and I didn't realize he was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
And then they were all like, please sign Cedric, I think was the chant that they had.
Okay.
And Triple H comes out, and he goes, okay. And then they put him on NXT the next week. I'm like, that is a really good moment. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, Mia Yim had a serious, similar moment. She was in the... Mia Yim?
I don't know her.
She was in TNA under... She Asian. I think she was part of the Dollhouse stable or whatever.
Oh, okay, I would. Okay, dude, okay. Yeah. I know that stable. Taryn Terrell.
Yep.
I don't know the other two, but I can see them.
There was Rebel.
Uh huh.
It was, and then Mia was the Asian one.
Oh, okay.
I know for the life of me, cannot remember what she went her name in that in TNA, but she was in the Mae Young Classic twice. Mm. And then after the second one, I think. They had to, hire Mia Chan. He's Triple H. Just, okay.
Yeah. I love it.
It's just kind of straight. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, welcome aboard. I got a couple spots.
Yeah, I think, Cedric was definitely, I think he went pretty far in the Cruiserweight tournament and definitely impressed some people.
Yeah.
Because he.
Watching that made me want to watch the entire tournament. You know what I mean? Because I've told you this before. I want to get through NXT before I start watching any 205 Live or Cruiserweight Classic stuff.
I really think that, obviously, if you're going to watch the 205 Live, you need to watch Cruiserweight Classic.
Obviously, yeah.
There is a serious amount of crossover. Like, 205 Live gives you a lot of guys you used to see in NXT.
Should I start watching them parallel?
Not a lot of 205 and NXT don't crossover very much, but that Cruiserweight Classic... Oh. Definitely affects NXT, so you don't have to watch it right now, but it might give you a little bit of insight into NXT.
It's enough. The video packages are hitting me with.
Yeah.
But like they really made me want to go back and watch it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I love Cruiserweight Wrestling. Like,
sure. You'll love that.
It's amazing.
The Classic was amazing. If you obviously can't watch 205 Live without it.
Yeah.
If you watched it now, it would probably help NXT a little bit, but it doesn't seem super necessary.
Right.
But yeah, you'll see Cedric's in that. I think you get Rich Swann comes to
Rich
NXT
Swann,
after
Rich
that.
Rich Swann, I saw him.
Trying to think if Brian Kendrick does anything in NXT. I don't think he does.
Gulak does.
Drew Gulak. I think Tony Nese pops up a couple times.
Yeah, I think
NXT
I saw Tony
too.
Nese on there once.
Yep, they're both in that.
And we've circled back to your Cruiserweight champion, Tony Nese, you know?
Yeah, he's
touched everything. He's touched WrestleMania, he's touched NXT, he's touched 205 Live. So.
They had a pretty good match. I think at that point we were... pre-gaming pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't see a bunch of it. Buddy Murphy had a good little run with that belt, though. I mean, so you're actually NXT where Buddy Murphy is feuding with Wesley Blake, like, after the tag team breakup.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to believe that he had such a successful career for that, because he seems to have nothing at this point.
Yeah, it's something. And I didn't realize that Blake was still employed. I just assumed they let him go.
Yeah, so I don't watch a lot of, like, the weekly NXT product. I watch all the takeovers and watch highlights and stuff. Blake is part of a faction right now there.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me.
But yeah, Buddy Murphy definitely came out ahead and all that.
Yeah.
No, it was a good cruiserweight opener. I think we talked about the people kind of push for the cruiserweights to be on the main card. They feel like
they're always on Raw for a little bit.
Well, yeah, but even for like pay per views, they're like, the cruiserweights always put on good matches. Like, why are they on the pre show? And I tend to agree. Then I had read, I think Triple H even said, like, in one of like their calls, they're like, why do you put the cruiserweights on pre show? He goes, you can only see the cruiserweights on 205 Live, which is really only on the network.
Network, yeah.
So basically, putting them on the pre-show makes them available to everyone, because the pre-show they broadcast and it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on Justin TV, it's on all that shit. So it's really the only. It's a good advertisement. I think it's actually interesting.
It's a good way to promote the cruiserweights.
Yeah, so
you can get it nowhere else but the WWE Network by now.
Yeah, he gets people excited for the WWE Network.
The only thing they're missing is Don West, who I really think they should sign to promote 205 Live. I think that would be the best thing for the product, honestly.
Honestly.
I'm crazy Don West, dude. You gotta buy 205 Live on the WWE Network. I'm giving it away. I'm putting it in a brown bag for you.
They don't need him anywhere in WWE.com. That's why
Don West in WWE would be amazing.
If you got Don West and Mike Tenay to do the commentary for 205 Live, I would love it.
I would pop. It would be
amazing. But they're just like, hire Don West, he's gonna want to do stuff in WWE shop, and we cannot be giving shit away in brown bags. Because WWE, you're a fucking reputation. We're not giving away title replicas in brown bags for $15.
Come on, I would want that, dude. Would end up with all the women's titles over here for sure.
After that, we got Carmella wins the second annual WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
Three claps for that. I am really glad that they're still pushing Carmella and they didn't forget about her. Because she won the Money in the Bank, she cashed it in,
mm-hmm.
and she was kind of getting lost in the fold a little bit with Truth and everything. Like,
she was
nowhere near the title picture, and Asuka wasn't really doing much either.
She had a good run with a belt, but yeah, after, you know, she lost it, and then after Asuka lost to Charlotte, it'll be interesting to see what they do.
She was more of like a hype man for Truth.
She's definitely more of a manager.
Having her win this makes her a serious threat for the women's title now.
Do you think so?
It gives her a threat as an in-ring competitor.
It gives her something. I don't know that it reminds
people that, hey, Carmella can still get it done.
I don't think it necessarily translates to anything else.
I think that's what it translates to me.
What did Naomi do after winning that Battle Royale?
I'm not talking about Naomi. I'm talking about Carmella.
Okay, gotcha.
Dance break. Trippy time, y'all. That's very good. Very good.
We already may be having our best episode.
Best episode ever, everybody.
I'm trying to think. The final three was... It was Carmella. No, Carmella.
Asuka.
No, because Carmella went under the ring, didn't she?
Yeah, she was her normal trick. Yeah.
So we didn't even realize she was in the final three. It was Asuka, Sarah Logan, and...
Yeah, which was a little bit of a surprise to me.
There was someone else as the third woman left that also didn't seem... Was it Sonya?
I don't recall. With all of the extracurricular activities we did, that we don't quite remember who the third person was left in that thing.
Hold, please. Yes. Polls are very important to us. Because Sarah Logan was the last woman left before Carmella came back in.
Mm-hmm.
Did
Carmella eliminate Asuka, correct?
I think so.
I believe Asuka was on the ropes, and then she dumped her over him.
Let's read. Carmella outlasted a superstar-studded field of competitors from SmackDown Live, Raw, and NXT to win the second installment of the Show of Shows All-Women's Over-the-Top Rope Free-for-All, tossing the Riot Squad's Sarah Logan to claim victory on the WrestleMania kickoff. The eliminations came fast and furious, almost from the opening bell. The returning Ember Moon, who's been sidelined with injury since the Royal Rumble, was responsible for the first ouster, dispatching of Maria Kanellis, while Asuka dumped NXT's Candice LeRae and Nikki Cross while back-to-back hip checks in the early going. Moon Manager, blah, blah, blah.
Fast forwarding.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's more writing here than I thought there would be.
Fast forwarding, fast forwarding. Your call is very important to us. Please hold.
Yeah, it was Sarah Logan, Sonya Deville, and Asuka. I was correct.
All right. Good job.
Thank you. So we didn't really expect Sarah Logan, Sonya Deville to last. I figured it would have been someone else in there with Asuka at the end.
Yeah.
And then when we thought Sarah Logan won, we're all pretty surprised. Like,
I was rooting for my girl Liv Morgan. We all know that.
Yeah, you were. She didn't have a bad showing.
No, she was wearing all that the black leather or whatever it was and looking all fine.
Hey, were you talking about WrestleMania or just that dream you had last night?
Both.
Okay. What's both, Joe?
Both of these nuts. Oh, yeah.
Definitely best
episode. Hashtag best episode ever.
But no, we were all pretty pumped. We thought Sarah won, because I was like, that's a nice little rub for
the Riot Squad.
Yeah, I mean, because
she's been
Sarah Logan isn't like the star. Ruby Riott's definitely the leader. So for Sarah Logan to kind of
be highlighted.
Yeah.
Give her the spotlight.
I really think it actually still is a good rub for Sarah Logan.
And that's one of the good things about factions. Like, they're in the Riot Squad.
Yeah.
But they have their own individual moments and
The Riot Squad doesn't seem like Ruby Riott is considered the leader or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really think that they don't fall victim to like the leader and like the flunkies. I think they all three of them do good stuff.
They're all equally as threatening because they work together as a unit.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like Evolution where Triple H is the one they're all protecting. It's definitely like an equal effort.
And we got Superstar Shakeup coming up.
We do.
And, they might be breaking up the Riot Squad, and I'll cry.
You think you?
I'll cry.
Would you be sad if the whole Riot Squad breaks up?
Yeah.
Do you No, let's say they decided to move the Riot Squad together. I know sometimes they'll do that where they go individuals or they'll draft
teams. Based on Liv Morgan's Twitter account, she said she was sweating the draft. So I'm assuming that they're all going to be, open to be drafted individually.
I know last year that the deal was is you could be drafted as a team or you could be drafted as an individual and you could choose.
Interesting.
Maybe that's not what they're doing this year.
I don't know. We'll talk about the draft.
If you could see the Riot Squad drafted as a unit, would you want them to stay on Raw? Would you want them to go to SmackDown?
SmackDown, where they could win some titles.
They've
won zero championships on the main card.
I think that
it's very interesting. They're a legit threat, but they have won zero titles.
I think that Ruby Riott would be the first one to win the women's title of the three of them, probably. But I think that she has a much better odds of doing that on SmackDown than she would have.
I don't know. They may give them the tag titles, too.
No, I can see Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan winning those tag titles together.
Yeah. Well, they could also Freebird rules it, too, like the New Day.
But no, that makes they definitely could do that.
But but based on the way they've been pushing it, I would assume that Ruby would win the women's and then Liv and
but
Sarah would
honestly,
win the tag.
No, I mean, I didn't think about the Freebirds rule with them. They could very easily do that, too. And I think that the Riot Squad would make a good tag team division act as a three woman thing.
Oh yeah, we were definitely talking about my dream last night.
After that, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins defeat the Revival to win the Raw Tag Team Championship.
Oh yeah, so good.
Now he's saying yeah.
Long Island Ice Z, the Edgeheads. Curt Hawkins ends the losing streak. Oh my God. Oh happy day. Say it with me, Chad. Oh, happy day. When Zack Ryder... What? No, sorry.
Man, you are pumped about this.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, man. Oh, I feel so justified. I'm not even a fan of this tag team. It's just so trash, and I'm just so right.
He's just out of his nipples
it's
right
great.
Now.
It's great. It's amazing. I love it. I'm just so right.
Trebuchet cock and balls are about to come out. He's pumped about this.
It's great. The Raw tag division is garbage, and this tag team is your tag team champions. They're the best tag team on the block. Take that, Revival. Couldn't get it done on the grandest stage of them all.
That's aggressive.
Against the guy with the biggest losing streak on the roster, Curt Hawkins. Well done.
Curt Hawkins wins with a roll-up. Not a bad match. They had a good one there.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah, I think it popped the crowd pretty good. Honestly, I might have put this match on the main roster just because of the hometown boys.
The hometown thing, yeah. But there was no hype. There's no promotion for this match.
Yeah,
at all.
No, that was
that's why
that
it ended
thing,
up on the pre-show.
The thing we discussed was is that they
pulled it out of their ass.
They, I mean, cause so like we discussed, like the Ryder and Hawkins hadn't won a match in a while,
yeah.
And like it literally Ricochet and Aleister Black were wrestling for the Raw Tag Titles on that Monday.
Lost.
They did.
WrestleMania? Lost.
NXT TakeOver?
Also. Lost. Just saying, if these NXT guys are so good, how come they keep losing? Like, got zero titles. They can't even win the NXT titles. Jeez. Maybe because the main roster's better. I'm just saying.
Some behind the paywall stuff here. Trebuchet has been very, like, we have some NXT fanboys in the group.
Absolutely. That's fine.
I like to consider myself pretty neutral, but Trebuchet here is taking the main roster
stance. It's better. Well, check it out. Like, NXT guys are trying to get to Raw and SmackDown. Raw and SmackDown guys are not trying to go down to NXT.
With the exception of Tyler Breeze, that all seems accurate.
Yeah. That's funny. It's foolish for people to say that the NXT product is better than the main roster stuff. It doesn't... I guarantee you they're not selling more merch. I guarantee you they're not selling more in tickets. Like...
No, again. That's two different metrics you're using there, though.
Well, no, but based on both... Is NXT beating the main card in either one of those things?
No. Is that how you would measure... Is that how you would measure the quality of the product?
Well, I just want... Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Sure. I think when they say quality of product, I think they're referring to match quality.
Match quality? Well, that's also open for debate. NXT's a one-hour show, and some of those matches are real stinkers.
So I think that this seems to be the pitfall within our group, and even just like in internet wrestling fans in general, is that they judge NXT's product by the 3-hour takeovers every 3 months. And honestly...
They're great. Don't get me wrong, I'm a fan, but...
every episode of NXT was a takeover,
yeah,
I would probably say better than the main roster, because those takeovers rarely ever have a bad match.
But at the same time, if we're measuring it by that standard, WWE, we're just taking the best WrestleMania matches.
That's the same thing, is that it's not fair to measure NXT overall by... 3 hours every 3 months. By that standard, you'd be going, all right, what's one of the big four pay-per-views? Let's take the best three matches out of those.
Yeah, grab a WrestleMania match, grab a SummerSlam match, grab a Survivor Series match.
Even every 3 months. So, all right, so let's take the best three SummerSlam matches coming up,
mm-hmm.
and then the NXT TakeOvers, we're going to judge them by that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it may be close if you do it that way. But And I think that that's what a lot of people don't talk about, is that NXT also is a place for new guys to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing it right now. Like, you've seen a few takeovers, you're like, holy cow, that's a good match.
Yeah, I don't hate NXT. Don't get me twisted here. Like, I like the NXT product, and I understand what it is.
Uh-huh.
But when
you're watching every episode, matches are few and far between, where people that don't necessarily watch the weekly product are like, oh, wow, everything NXT is amazing, and they're missing... The squash matches that aren't anything to write home about. They're missing the guys getting their first TV time that are really
stumbling over the microphone a lot.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's developmental.
I don't think there's anything
wrong with NXT. I think that if you're judging NXT based on takeovers, you're not actually judging NXT.
Yeah.
You're a humanoid.
I'm just saying. I think that's what you're doing.
I think it's romanticized a little bit. I think some of the story, the top end of NXT is better than much of the main roster, but the top end of NXT is only like, what, six guys?
Yeah, but I understand like where guys like will argue that, because guys in NXT are hungry. You know why? Because they're trying to get to WWE.
The thing is that the guys want to... Anybody that's like, guys don't want to go to the main roster, that's such a load of shit. Because those guys on NXT make so much less money.
Yeah, I know. You want to get paid.
It is confirmed that guys who are on NXT, they get paid maybe a tenth of what they get on the main roster. That's one of the incentives to get the main roster, is you get a big pay increase. Even some of the bigger name guys on NXT make dick.
Yeah. Watch Paige's movie. Like, when she's in NXT, it's whatever. When she got to the main roster, she cried, and then she won the title on Raw. Like, that's huge. That's huge. Like, that's... compare her winning the Divas Champion, or the NXT Women's Championship, to her that night on Raw. Which moment's bigger? The Raw one, by far. It's not even close. Like, be realistic, guys. Vince McMahon is the fucking king.
I think that's...
Y'all should bow down.
I think that's actually an interesting part of it, too, is that I think that some of the storyline booking in NXT might be some of the best storyline booking in the entire WWE.
I enjoy the writing.
But I think that because of that, people are like, Vince McMahon this, Vince McMahon that. And I don't know if that's fair. I think that Vince McMahon, I think people want to shit on Vince McMahon more than he deserves. He's definitely put some stinkers out there, but also everything good in the WWE goes through him.
Yeah, like, come on now. Like, we're all watching the product. We're all wearing the merch. Like, we're all buying his network. It's great. NXT, I love it. NXT, I'm a Vince McMahon guy.
NXT like, doesn't period. Exist without Vince McMahon because they don't need a developmental system if the WWE isn't big enough.
Yeah, absolutely. They're number one, WWE, and that's my stance.
So the last match of the kickoff show was Braun Strowman won the 6th annual Honor the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
I am just happy the SNL guys didn't win it. That was my one worry. I'm just like, don't let the SNL guys win.
You were freaking out because they looked like they had a shot there at the end.
They're very quick to put celebrities over WWE superstars, and I don't like it at all. Because all the logic in pro wrestling says that shouldn't happen. Like, these guys have never stepped a foot in the ring before, and now they're just winning matches. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the shenanigans and stuff, but and I understand why celebrities are there to, like, you know, sell tickets and sell pay-per-views.
I really feel like, so 5 years from now, WrestleMania 40.
Yeah.
We'll go back and look at celebrities in WWE again. I really wonder if this will even be a footnote. This seemed really fucking forgettable.
Yeah.
Didn't even make the main card.
Yeah. Well, it's the Battle Royal. It never does.
Yeah, no, but I necessarily don't mean the Battle Royal so much as, like, them as a celebrity appearance.
Yeah.
Didn't even make the main card.
No, that's fair.
So, I don't know. It seems like one of those things that will probably be lost to history. One guy brought a psychiatrist out, or a therapist or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Didn't really care for it. Braun Strowman wins. It'll probably lead to nothing.
Yeah.
Main show starts.
All right, America the Beautiful. It was great.
We were discussing how, like, whenever we hear America the Beautiful, we're just like, WrestleMania. Like,
yeah, no, I get a tear.
It's not about patriotism. It's about WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is about to start, guys. It's a big deal.
You're like, yeah, Trebuchet, why are you crying? I got a tear in my eye. Wow, you must love America. No, I'm just doing the Ric Flair speech.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
So we get the helicopter fly over.
Yeah, you were all like, I don't like this. I'm like, I think it's cool. They're just, you know what I mean?
I don't know. It didn't make
you,
a lot.
You like the jet flyover better?
The jet flyover, if you're gonna do things flying over, the helicopter just seems slow. I was purposely being nitpicky.
I know.
Talking about what, helicopters exposing the business.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you were talking about exposing the business quite a bit.
I was getting needled.
No, it was fun.
I was getting worked into that shoot.
No, I understand. There will be videos on the Undisputed Podcast of the World coming to your screens.
We should get those up. Maybe we'll post to. This.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know I cut some good promos.
I got a couple of them out there. I interviewed everybody in the house, I think.
I recall asking Mike Bustler if he knew how big Batista's dick was.
You did. Stay tuned for the answer. Check out the videos, everybody.
Show opens up with Alexa Bliss saying that she's got WrestleMania in the palm of her hand.
She can make a WrestleMania moment happen at the snap of her fingers. And then she did.
We didn't believe her in...
Out comes the Hulkster when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
So, can she make WrestleMania moments with a snap of fingers or racist appear?
Oh.
So she only snapped once. So, if she snaps again and The Rock comes out, WrestleMania moments. If she snaps again and David Duke comes out, racist. Okay. We gotta put this to some scientific testing. I'm not actually sure what her superpower is.
Oh, man. And then Heyman stormed by.
Yeah, so, like, the WrestleMania, like, Hulk Hogan come out was pretty whatever. He said the Silver Dome again.
But he made fun of himself.
Yeah, we all.
I made that joke on the podcast for the pre-show, and then he said it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on the level.
Being from Michigan, we all pop for that.
Yeah, we love that, you know. We love the Silver Dome. Took him forever to knock that thing down.
It did. That thing would not go. They tried to knock down the sword. It was like, that wasn't work for me, brother.
It's true. I read that in the Detroit Free Press. That's guaranteed in print.
Paul Heyman comes out, says, if we're not going on last, we're not waiting around.
We're not waiting for this thing to happen. We're doing it now. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Pretty much Bill O'Reilly the fuck out of it. So, racist?
Well, Lex Bliss didn't snap.
Oh, okay.
If she had snapped and Paul Heyman would have come out doing a Bill O'Reilly, I would say tell us that was her, her superpower.
Checking the math here.
Yep. Yeah, so
this was a good match.
Yeah, it was
F5 on the floor.
Yeah, so Brock Lesnar comes out. Seth comes out, has a cool little like entrance thing, a little like
burn it down.
It comes out and a Lesnar immediately jumps on him. Match isn't even started.
Yeah,
F5 on the outside, throws him around, puts him through like the top. Like the logo of the announce table?
They take the cover of the announce table off. They set it up on the rope, and they slam Seth through it.
Iron Mike Bustler goes,
I didn't know that thing could break.
Yeah, I've never seen them use that thing before.
it was funny.
It put a hurting on Seth, too. You can see where he went through. He had like a, I don't know if it was a cut or like a welt or something. He had a big old mark on his back where he went through it.
It's like a big old like road rash, almost like scratched. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It was like that.
I think that thing is wood.
Yeah, it's like being slammed on a pallet almost because it was wood. And that shit will cut you. You like didn't get stabbed by it, honestly.
Yeah, he had
that fucking, remember that table spot with Bob Holly, dude? Like,
oh, he sliced his back. I will never. I watched that live.
I watched ECW on Sci-Fi Network on Tuesday nights, I believe it was.
I went to someone else's house to watch that.
I had people come to my house.
We didn't have cable at the time, and it was really easy. SmackDown, I think, was still on local TV, so you could get that.
Mm-hmm.
And Raw, I had like a wait. I think I was like streaming Raw somewhere illegally. But ECW is a little harder to get. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations is up on that. If not, David Otunga, I need your help.
Yeah, David, help us out.
I got to get a coffee cup in here.
Yeah. I got one right in my hand.
Yeah, it would.
I'll take you to Tim Hortons.
Shout out to Tim Hortons.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't spare
no expense. You want Timbits? We'll bring you Timbits, too.
They don't sponsor us, but we drink it.
That's right. That's one of my favorite lines. Hashtag best episode ever. They don't sponsor us, but I drink it.
Because I drink it, but they don't sponsor us. Not yet.
Oh, I'm totally going to tag Tim Hortons when I launch this episode on Twitter at TrebucheLOL.
And also tweet me at Showtime Schultz.
Yeah, he lives on Twitter, so he'll definitely respond to your tweets.
I sure will. Absolutely. I'll make a point to do it.
I'll try to when I see them 3 days later.
If you're a cute girl, I'll respond to them a little quicker, which is probably not a good thing.
Fact checked.
Being outed by Trebuchet. But yeah, eventually the match starts. Seth Rollins is getting beaten on some more. Ref has to like duck out of the ring when Seth pushes Brock into him.
Yep.
Seth gets a low blow. 3 consecutive curb stomps.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar sells him like death.
My favorite part of that was Heyman was trying to explain to the referee that a low blow happened. He's like, I saw it! I saw it! I'm like, that's exactly what you're supposed
Paul
to
Heyman
do.
Paul Heyman is a fantastic manager.
Also, when the 3 count went down, I didn't watch the referee. I was watching Heyman's face. He had his hands over his head. It was 1, 2, and then when 3 happened, his eyes got really big.
Yeah, I did.
You can't teach that. That is experience. And knowing the business and staying in character, if anybody wants to learn the pro wrestling manager style, watch Paul Heyman. Nobody does it better.
No.
Nobody.
Paul Heyman, definitely the best manager today.
Absolutely.
He's in the conversation of all time. I don't know if he's the best of all time, but he definitely...
He can make me believe Mr. Hankey could win the Universal Championship. I truly believe that. And Paul Heyman... I really think you should try to shoot a promo where you try to put Mr. Hankey over to be the next Universal Champion.
Man, you corny. See, it's funny because Mr. Hankey's a Christmas poo.
This joke just runs on.
Oh, boy. Poop jokes. We were having the best episode.
We were having the best episode ever. Now we're just fucking in the toilet. And we're back.
I can't stomp out of here. I don't want you to do this show on your own. I don't trust you.
That's fair. I'll go Hollywood.
I know you will.
You're walking around here with some boas and shit. Like, that works for me, brother. You're dropping leg drops on fucking water bottles. It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing.
So the next episode or the next match on the WrestleMania this year would have been AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. Not that remarkable of a match. Not that the fans in the audience would know.
No, this was very interesting. I didn't watch. No, we didn't know this happened the first time around. We literally were rewatching parts of WrestleMania
Because, so I read about it a few days later, yeah. And then we were watching it last night.
You brought it to my attention. What happened, Showtime?
So the pre-show, they don't really have lights on because it's broad daylight.
The sun's out, yeah.
During the Undisputed, I'm sorry, the Universal title match, sun goes down, and they kick the lights on for the Randy Orton AJ match here. And it looked like they were using like a yellow tint for those lights. Yeah,
there was like a red, and then there was like yellow spots.
I think a lot of it was yellow at first, and they were basically, so if you watch Raw, the audience is red.
Yeah.
They put a red light on the audience, which honestly, being at Raw, you don't even notice.
No, you don't.
In the audience, you can't even tell if there's a light
on you, because you're like,
yeah, focused. It doesn't really affect your vision. That yellow light, though, was literally blinding the audience, where they could not see the ring because to look forward, the yellow lights in your eyes, you look into the sun.
Yeah, and they had a lot of interesting chants going. Like,
yeah, it was
like, turn the lights down.
Yeah, they were singing, oh, turn the lights down. They were singing about it. Yeah.
Please turn the lights down.
Yes, yeah.
Please turn the lights down. Those tickets are expensive too. Like,
yeah,
it's in New Jersey. Section, they're gonna start throwing shit. Yeah, like, the section, you need to turn them off.
The sections that were most affected. Yeah, those are thousands of dollars. Those were not the cheap seats. They were blinded.
Like,
because it was basically if you look at like the whole stage.
Yeah.
Basically it was the lights that are above the ring.
Mm-hmm.
They were pointed out. So like the cheap seats were fine because you're so far above those lights anyway.
Yeah.
But it was the fans that kind of were like the first level off the ground.
Yeah,
we're getting hit by them, and because honestly, if you haven't been to one of the WrestleMania parties, you know, here, any of the pay per view parties, you should.
You should, because they're fucking glorious.
They're fantastic. Pod brownies, fucking Four Locos, food.
Jägermeister.
But you usually cannot hear the commentary.
Well,
fan chants can be hard to hear too, because we're doing a lot of yelling. And we're calling the matches ourselves.
Yeah. Tribute Time is the best 2-man booth in the business.
Too dang.
Yes, we are.
Side note: even when we go to Raw, we've been kind of like, oh, I don't need to hear the commentary. We got these guys with us.
Absolutely. And they know all the moves. They know all the holes.
They like it, then they hate it, then they love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hashtag Tribute Time.
Tribute Time. Hit me up at TributeShayLOL. He's at Showtime Show.
Sure am. But so yeah, we missed all those chance stuff, but I remember even at WrestleMania being like, wow, the crowd is fired up for this, because we couldn't hear what they're saying.
For this Randy Orton AJ Styles
This AJ Orton match that essentially meant nothing. Like, this is probably the most throwaway match on the card.
We're just like, we're trying to RKO AJ here.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Is like, we're just like waiting for the RKO off of Springboard.
Yeah.
That's all this match was. No one cared. But I was like, wow, these fans are fucking on fire for this match. Come to find out that they're just mad that they can't.
Right. Well, considering the Universal title match happened before, you would probably assume that following that would be hard to win the crowd back. But they were like,
yeah, they just got that big set pop off Seth. Like, fans don't care about this. Like, this match meant nothing.
I really would like to know if they got an interview from either AJ or Randy after WrestleMania, just to see what, because I don't know if they knew what was going on.
Randy Orton looked flustered.
He was definitely like mad at the crowd, but I don't know if he knew it was like what was going on.
My guess is that it was hard to figure here. Through the TV, what they were chanting. My guess is that the AJ and Randy knew what the problem was.
Yeah.
When you hear, hey, turn the lights down in a chant, and you look in the crowd and say it's yellow hitting everybody, it's probably pretty easy to see what's going on. And I'm pretty sure, I think AJ is whatever. Orton is not good at hiding his frustration with
anything. Out,
like the prod. In the ring.
He's getting mad at Kofi Kingston before.
Yeah, if something's going wrong in the ring, Orton will be pissed about it.
Yeah,
I think Orton was mad that
absolutely
that the because the fans kind of hijacked it a little bit because they were and as they should.
Yeah,
they couldn't see.
Yeah,
You can't keep the fans' attention on the match if they can't see the match.
It was funny though. They turned them off and then a chance roared. Then they turned it back on. They booed.
Yeah,
I'm like, they're gonna start using that, dude.
No,
you want them to cheer freaking Roman Reigns? Turn the lights off. Yeah.
No, they switched them. They switched them to red. They turned the yellow ones off. I think they switched to red. Because I think it was like red and yellow. They turned the yellow ones off. They switched to red. They had like a big pop. And then they a minute later, they cut the yellow ones back on and just booed.
It was the most entertaining part of that whole, like,
no, that match was nothing. So, like, it was the hear the crowd there. Was it, you know, we're talking about, like, huh, they really want a heel pop. All they gotta do is turn the yellow boys back on. You'd have thought Roman Reigns circa a year and a half ago came out, boo!
Like, this man struck gold, he can control the audience now. Just like, oh, no.
He figured out the trick. What I understand is that was the last of the issues with the lights for the night.
They probably left the red ones on the night.
Fans were pissed, though, because, like, I guess they missed most of that match.
Yeah.
My guess is that was, if they were going to do that during the matches, that wasn't the right match to do it for. Fans were fine chanting and stuff, but if that would have been during the
whole thing,
if that would have been Kofi Kingston, they would have been throwing things.
No, they would.
They would. If they were,
I guarantee you, they would not have been. Fans would not have been sitting in those spots. They would have moved.
Yeah, if
a bunch of New Jersey people to go where they don't want to be or where they need to be, man, you're gonna have freaking people stomped and mauled.
Yeah,
and
it was not. Especially if they rightfully were pissed off. Those are thousands of dollars worth of tickets. Like, one seat is over $1,000.
Yeah, people would have been pissed. I kind of hear that people also had to, like, wait in the rain after Mania, because Mania went long, I guess.
Yeah.
And transportation didn't work out, like, the greatest.
Yeah, no.
I didn't hear about that.
That makes sense, being that the weather wasn't amazing.
They were booking it to end at 10:30, and it didn't end.
10:30?
Yeah, that's what they told, like, the New Jersey, like, public.
That's funny.
You know,
the transit people.
That.
They booked it there. It didn't end until 12:45.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Here's the thing. If they would have said we're booking it to end at 11 or midnight, that'd make sense.
Yeah.
But there's no way that thing was over before 11.
Yeah.
It's never been over before 11.
I know. I'm just saying that's what I read in that article.
Wow. That's super poor planning on WWE's part. If they told public transit, it will be done by 10:30. That's fucking ridiculous.
Well, that doesn't work for me, brother.
That's never worked. They fixed the lights here. But yeah, like, my guess is that if it would have been a bigger match, you would have had fans.
You would have had a riot. I guarantee you would have had a riot.
You would have had if the fans didn't see
it
Kofi.
Turned into a mosh pit,
if the,
dude,
if the
really
fans
would've.
Didn't see Kofi win the world title, they would have been hitting the ring. They would have been throwing shit at the ring.
And
people would have been fighting.
You don't want wrestling fans doing that. We're not the most in shape people.
We don't want that. You don't want a riot at Mania because they do not have enough security to contain that whole area.
It's a lot of people, dude. Yeah. So I'm glad they got it figured out and everything. And just try to do better next time.
Following that, we get, this is interesting. I feel like the tag match happened after the AJ match, but it says that Shane McMahon's.
No, that's not correct. Because we stopped watching it during the tag match.
Yeah, and Shane McMahon match hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Looks like we're running through the card on WWE.com. It looks like they're a little out of order. So the next match would have been the Usos defeat Aleister Black and Ricochet, The Bar, and Shinsuke and Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev.
Yeah. The Usos got it done.
Retain the titles.
Yeah. I really thought I was going to take home the Undisputed Championship because of this. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, you
this
think
happens.
You think you really don't pick the Usos, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I was one of few, if any.
Yeah. It was a good match.
Who is the Undisputed Champion, by the way? Oh, I know. He had a child with him on Sunday. The NXT Championship. Robert Space Force. Three claps for the new champ. Getting it done on the grandest stage of them all. And
yeah.
We also have a post-Mania interview with the one and only Trebuchet. Find that Undisputed Podcast of the World on Facebook. You can do that. I guarantee it.
If I remember correctly, that Robert's post-Mania win promo was money.
It was.
I had a post-Mania interview about wanting it, so I think I channeled some Raven. I channeled some Sean Stacy.
This thing is off the rails. Fucking Sean Planet Stasiak reference. Like, Jesus.
Don't spoil it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was the first one was for you. I was like, I'm just doing this.
It's officially your fault that hell froze over. Look at this. It is snowing outside because you fucking did that. I'm blaming you.
Worf.
Worth it.
This was a good match. Really thought Aleister Black and Ricochet were going to get that. I did not think that
they were... What? The NXT losers?
I really did not think they were going to have them lose all three tag title matches in 7 days. I did not anticipate that was going to happen.
Maybe they shouldn't be C-plus players. They're all entrants. All sizzle, no steak. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went there. I went there.
Being a hater.
I am not.
You would never.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was a good match. They got the bar on the card. Got Shinsuke and Rusev on the card that I don't really think they would have been on otherwise.
How the mighty have fallen, dude. Rusev used to be almost a main eventer. Like, he feuded with Cena a couple years back.
He's made his WrestleMania debut in a tank.
Like, that was really cool.
Now we're not talking a DX Jeep tank. We're talking a tank.
Tank, yeah. That was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Rusev was, and then Rusev Day last year.
Yeah. Rusev was fucking over at Mania last year. And now he's,
and then like even and Shinsuke. Shinsuke was won the Royal Rumble last year.
Main event last year. Stung up the joint, but it was in the main event.
I was so right about that.
You were.
So right about that. You can't just put these NXT guys in the main event of WrestleMania. It doesn't work for me, brother. They fucking lose people's interest. What?
I know you want to needle the NXT like fanboys.
Yeah.
They're not. Who are you needling? I'm
trying to get some hate mail. Send your hate mail to @goat, everybody. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to get the humanoids to show their true colors. I know they're out there. I know they want to hate on me. Bring it on. I welcome it.
I really did not have you pegged for the heel this episode. I thought I was going to be. But no, apparently I'm the smiling baby face.
I told you I was going to go Hollywood. You're going to give me the whole show to myself. I mean, geez.
I'd be Bob P is going Hollywood, guys.
Spray paint the World Heavyweight Championship over here, and you're going to get offended.
You better not.
Hey, brother.
You better not.
You better stay in your seat then, brother.
After that, Shane McMahon defeats The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
I enjoyed that match.
It was a good match.
This is officially where the pop brownies took over for me.
Yeah, were you getting some anxiety over, like, the scaffolding thing?
That is exactly where I was going to go with this. Yeah,
yeah, I was just like,
first of all, scaffolding matches since the Jim Cornette one have really just gave me really bad anxiety.
And this was basically a scaffold. They spent half this match climbing shit.
I don't like them. Like, there's the one that really made me really anxious was, do you remember in TNA when they had the scaffolding X up top?
Okay, so
it was like Rhino versus AJ Styles.
Okay, so we're not talking Ultimate X.
Not Ultimate X. It was a scaffolding match.
What the fuck did that? There was a name for it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It had the name X in it, but I'll get back to you. I would like to do a commentary on that one day because I get really bad anxiety watching that match.
Yeah,
well,
it's really high up there. Scaffold matches are.
You can go back to the ECW one where they had all the tables set up and everything. Like, I don't... Jim Cornette broke his knee or something.
He tore his leg all up. I don't think he broke it. He tore a bunch of his tendons in his leg.
And I'm amazed he didn't kill a guy. Because a guy was supposed to catch him.
No, it was Big Boss Man before he was Boss Man was... fuck, what did he go by? I should know this. I'm ashamed. I'm blanking on it.
Shame.
Yeah, I know.
Shame.
I know.
It'll come back to you.
But basically, it was Big Bubba Rogers.
There it is.
Yeah, I knew it was. He was there. but basically, he was Jim Cornette's bodyguard.
Yeah.
Hired by Mama Cornette to watch out for her son because those wrestlers were being so mean to him.
I love Jim Cornette in the ring and everything. He's a little bit much behind the scenes and everything, but I'm a fan. I am definitely a fan.
I wouldn't have
said. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Jim Cornette?
Yeah. No. He should be. Let's start the campaign this year. Honestly, on the Undisputed Podcast of the World, let's get Jim Cornette
for the Hall of Fame.
To the promised land. He deserves it. He's done enough.
He wasn't in the Hall of Fame. He inducted the Rock and Roll Express, and I really did not think he would ever touch WWE TV again.
Yeah, I know.
He's been on... He did that. He's done a couple table for threes.
I was going to say, I think they wanted to sign up for a couple table for threes.
I think he's done a few like interviews, like the like documentary stuff, interviews for him. I think he did an Undertaker one recently or something. But no, I really felt like after all the shit he's talked, and he's talked a lot of it.
That's a big
fan. They wouldn't want fuck all to do with him. Yeah. He's currently doing commentary for MLW.
What's that? What's MLW stand for?
Major League Wrestling, yeah. Which is... Court Bauer owns it. They do a lot of podcasts and stuff, but they've started to like have their own little like promotion.
Yeah.
I think it's run out of like New York area.
Okay.
Haven't watched much of their product. Seems fun enough, but they're doing they want Cornette there to do commentary sometimes. Cornette's also doing commentary. They're doing another Crockett Cup, with like tag teams.
Oh, fun.
He's doing commentary for that because obviously really closely tied to that. So Cornette's like doing commentary again. I don't ever see him doing commentary for WWE. Doesn't want to travel, basically. He's doing those as one-offs because they're tapings, and they'd be there for 2 days. And
you think they'd ever bring him to developmental? Put him in NXT?
Because
he could stay in Florida then.
I don't think he has any interest in leaving Kentucky. Like, I think he wants to stay. I think he wants to stay where he is.
Well, he also doesn't go to Canada either, does he?
He does not. He will not. He will not go to Canada. So to him, hear him tell the story... They were being real bastards to him.
Chad is definitely a Cornette disciple.
To hear other people tell the story, Cornette was being kind of a prick to Border Patrol. And if you're a prick to Border Patrol, it'll make your life miserable.
Oh, boy. I believe that.
You stupid fuckers. You're like, why are you giving me a body cavity shit?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you
can't.
Jim. It pains me to do this. You got to dial that back sometimes.
Oh, boy. You're going to get some hate mail from Cornette.
I don't want that.
Send it to At Goat, though.
I don't know that Jim would care much for At Goat. This match was good. We had a nice little spot with the Mrs. Dad gets in the ring.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. He's been memeing all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I am loving Mrs. Dad memes. The only memes I like more are the memes of me. But these are pretty good.
That checks out. We have had some great Trebuchet memes. We're not talking about the subreddit full of memes about the actual Siege Machines. No, we're talking about memes of this Trebuchet.
Me, the Trebster.
Admittedly, when I told Trebuchet there was a subreddit called Trebuchet Memes, I told him it was about him, and he believed me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I believe that. I believe that to be a thing. I'm going to start that if it's not there.
At Trebuchet LOL
memes. That's right.
We can do that. We'll get that started.
Yeah.
But
back to the scaffolding and
One of my favorite spots of this match is I think the Miz got thrown on the floor or something, and Miz's dad hops in the ring and kind of like squares up with him and like is in a really bad like boxing stance. Shane McMahon's like adjusts his stance for like he like literally takes like his arm and like moves his arms the right way.
Oh, that's
Shane McMahon being a real ham. It's in his blood.
Mrs. Dad is going to be talking about this for the rest of his life.
Oh, I'm sure Mrs. Dad is fucking pumped.
I can't wait for the next season of Miz and Mrs. to come out where I see the Mrs. Dad back in Cleveland just fucking hamming it up.
Oh, I'm sure.
This is like the equivalent of me being at WrestleMania doing anything. Like, I don't care if I drive the Honky Tonk Man down to the ring in a pink Cadillac. I will show that to everybody.
Well, if it's good enough for DDP, it's good
enough
for you.
That's right. You know what I was doing.
Bang.
Former World Heavyweight Champion.
Master of Self 5-5 over here.
That's right.
Master of Self Lo-Fi over here. God damn it. It's funny because we're talking about, like, there's just this big, like, scaffolding playground out like in the crowd that like really does it. Like, there was no way that this wasn't set up to be part of the
if
match.
I'm a fan, I'm like, why is this here?
Yeah,
what is
like,
this?
Because they've got like a big old
They had a camera.
They got a big old 80s camera out there. There's no way they were actually using.
that was the same camera that The Rock used when he got stunned by Stone Cold that one time. It didn't even work.
Probably. It's like there's no wires hooked to it. But we were actually looking. They're like, what would that even? What shot would that should be taking? It's just overlooking like some like. It's section 38C.
That's right.
Was like just for this camera. But my, yes, it seemed like just like a big prop. But they finally, like, there's like a lot of levels where they're brawling up there and it's like anxiety inducing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Finally, we get a superplex over the side of it. And
that was a super duperplex. They were way up there. But the Miz and Shane are great. That just, for them to both go over like that, you need to trust the guy.
Oh, for sure.
So much for that to happen.
And they get landed in one of like this safety pit things. They're like cushion and sawdust.
Yeah. It looked very stuntman-esque.
It did. And you can tell they're real fun. But Shane McMahon lands above the Miz. They're both unconscious.
Yep.
Shane McMahon technically above the Miz. Ref counts 3. Shane wins.
Mrs. Dad looks in awe, just like, oh my god, my son's broken in half.
Yeah, it was a pretty gnarly spot. They were up there.
Yeah, dude, I really enjoyed it.
I really thought
that's what I expect from the Miz. The Miz is great.
I thought Shane was gonna jump off of it. I thought it was gonna be an elbow thing, but I mean, I wasn't disappointed with the finish at all. I just wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
After that, we get the women's tag team titles: Bayley and Sasha, Nia Jax. And Natalya and Beth Phoenix lose to the Iconics.
God, I love them.
I'm really happy they won.
I think they are wonderful.
We talk for like a second about like the angel and demon outfits they wore? Oh my god.
I've opened up a Victoria's Secret catalog or two, and let me tell you, they very well could have belonged in there. And that is a compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect. No disrespect at all.
Peyton, call me.
Okay, Billy, call me. I could do way worse. And have.
No comments. I'm not getting. If you want to get in trouble, that's fine. I don't need to take this bullet for you.
I'll expose my business. I don't care.
Didn't you get like on probation for that one time?
That's behind the paywall.
All right. I think that's what the judge said.
Do it for my juggalos. Whoop whoop.
Yikes. All right. Well, now we have to cancel this show.
We're having the best show ever, and oh boy.
I'm really glad to tell you, and Beth Phoenix didn't win.
Oh, that was my pick. I really thought they were going to do it, especially since Brett got tackled the night before.
I didn't see it happening. Beth was not in ring shape.
Yeah.
Dude,
seriously though, we got to talk about the Divas Division real quick. I was watching the Hall of Fame from 2011 when Sonny got inducted. They brought out the entire Divas Division. Holy shit! Lay Cool was the headliners. Like, the Divas Division has progressed so much.
Well, they're not even the Divas Division. They're just superstars.
Night and day. Holy crap. Just good job, ladies. Like, keep up the good work. I'm just...
Yeah, well, so
Natalia was there. Beth Phoenix was there.
That 2011, was, that was, yeah, it was...
And the Bellas were there. They were the only ones that were still around.
Yeah, I mean, well, technically the Bellas are retired. Because, yeah, well, I mean, Alicia Fox is probably there, right?
I don't know if she came out. She might have been there. I didn't...
She could have been hurt. She's been... She was definitely employed at that time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's been there since, like, goddamn 2009.
Yeah, she's got a long tenure there.
Yeah, she might be the longest tenured female there.
Is she still there? She wasn't at Mania this year, was she?
Is
she in the Battle Royal?
She still technically works there.
To my knowledge,
she has not been released, but she's not in good graces with the company.
Yeah.
She's fallen in and out of favor. I don't know exactly why they're keeping her around, but yeah, to my knowledge, she still works there. But yeah, she's got major heat.
Right.
But yeah, so they it was a fun match.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to see the Iconics. You could tell it meant a lot. Like they were
crying.
Long time wrestling fans, those two. You could tell that this was a big deal for them.
They are awesome. They remind me of Paige so much.
Like, you can tell they're passionate about it.
Like, it was very similar to Paige winning that Divas title.
I honestly. I'm 26. You're 33.
33, yes.
The Iconics are younger than you. I think they're about a little older than me. Like they've been doing this forever. Like Paige, Emma,
they've been doing the indies for some reason, in
America, they really kind of discourage anybody wrestling before the age of 18. Like, it doesn't happen.
Which is a bummer. I would have gotten the opportunity to just, like, even
I think
do
it
stuff.
Has something to do with, like, the lawsuit culture in America. Like, if you to even go to wrestling school, you got to sign your life away on shit.
And I'm sure part of it is also, like, child, like, labor laws. Like, to protect your own ass in America, if 18,
yeah,
of us,
it is.
Like, you know what I mean.
If you're wrestling before 18 in America, it means you're probably working for family.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone, your dad or uncle or someone's training you.
Former tag team champion Nicholas, son of a ref, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to talk about that.
Come on,
exposing the goddamn business.
Oh, there it is. That's two. I'm keeping a tally, everybody. That's a twofer.
God damn it. But no, it seems like in other countries that a lot of times people start a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And they've given their lives to it. I'm very happy for those two. I think they're going to make good champions. I think that they're a very entertaining act.
People don't like it, and I see how they have
heat because they could definitely wear on. I find them endearing, but you've seen the kind of girls I go after.
What are you talking about? Exposing your business, Chad.
I sure am. I find obnoxious endearing. It's kind of a thing I'm working with.
Okay.
But... Yikes.
I'll let that sit there.
Yeah,
gonna,
I'll let that...
It's going to end up hovering over Lake Michigan somewhere.
It's one of the best lines in that whole fucking movie. But no, I've heard Vince is a big fan of those two.
So am I. I really see a lot of what Vince sees in pro wrestlers. Like, Baron Corbin, Like, we have very similar
tastes. We're gonna make it to Baron.
I can't wait.
Contain your boner.
Oh my god, I'm gonna just. Oh, I'm bursting. I'm bursting, JR.
I pictured it.
Yeah. But ladies.
Hello, ladies.
Just doing my Big Mouth Bosky impression. Yeah. You want to meet between the holidays?
Go ahead, finish it.
We'll call the Big Val Boski's left leg Thanksgiving, and we'll call the Big Treb Boski's right leg Christmas, and you can meet between the holidays. Treb Boski. I like that. I don't like that. I'm going to have to put that on my Twitter somewhere.
You've got some things to put on here. That one, you've already been told by the Heart Twins you rock.
I have.
There's a comic told you you could DJ any black barbecue.
I did. I got that. That almost brought a tear to my eye.
I was in the back when he said that. He goes, Treb here could be DJ any black barbecue. Everybody out kind of chuckled at it. I go, you don't understand. He's proud. That's the nicest thing I could have said to that guy.
I've never gotten a better compliment. I've gotten some compliments in
I just could see you glowing back there.
I was just like, oh my lord. I didn't get you anything.
A playlist together as we speak. To the window. To the wall.
Seriously, I will come to your barbecue. Yeah. I love them.
Some interesting backstory on the women's tag match. Sasha Banks.
Oh yeah.
Happy about it.
Yeah. She tried to almost Jeff Jarrett this. Like,
I've heard she threatened to walk out.
Like, she didn't want to drop the titles.
Did not. Who'd have thought Sasha Banks wouldn't do things the right way? Me. I would have thought that.
Yeah, you definitely would have thought that. Check every episode of the podcast ever.
Go on. We'll wait.
You can, yeah.
We'll wait.
We got time.
Hit the pause button. Yep.
We'll be here.
Mark where you are in the episode and come back and tell me that I'm wrong. See, I told you guys she would not do it the right way. You cannot make me like Sasha Banks. The thing Sasha Banks could make me do to like Sasha Banks a little bit more would be for her to quit.
Oh.
I like Sasha a little better.
Okay.
So there you go. Just throwing that out there. But apparently, the story goes, they did not want to drop the belts.
Okay.
Because it's WrestleMania and they earned it or something. Apparently, I do not know how much of this Bayley's wrapped up in. My guess is that Sasha's talking a lot of shit and Bayley's the one in the background, but I can't say. I don't know.
I don't know. I know Bayley's definitely taking a hit for this.
Sasha's making Bayley.
Whether or not Bayley's aware of this going on, it's not doing Bayley any favors.
My guess is that Bayley's aware. Bayley's definitely taking a hit for it. My guess is Bayley isn't doing enough to stop it from happening because she's definitely getting shat on over it.
Absolutely.
But
your tag team partner says they don't want to drop the titles. It's like, well, you're speaking for me as well.
Yeah, no, like we're a team. Like, I'm going to get some residual heat no matter what.
Honestly, if Bayley puts Sasha through the barbershop window this next Monday Night Raw, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, like, the story goes is that Sasha and Bayley were upset that they were going to lose backstage. They're upset when they lost, crying in the locker room, crying in the hotel, thinking about quitting. I heard that Sasha told WWE that she'd walk.
Why can't, like, that's your job. Like,
here's the thing.
Part of your job as a pro wrestler is to not only make yourself look good, to make other talent look good.
Yeah.
And to say you're not going to drop the titles, fuck you. Those are not your titles.
Yeah, well, so here's the
thing. Those are the WWE titles, and you work for the WWE. And you're not doing your job. I hate every bit of this.
I don't understand.
Like people threatening to leave. If they don't get their way, that doesn't work for me, brother. Well, fuck you. Go work somewhere else. That's the way I feel about it.
So my thing is,
I've been like neutral about Sasha most of the way here. I heard this. It is right up there with the screw job. Vince McMahon should just fire her and say Sasha screwed Sasha. Swear to God.
I'd be fine with that. So
got me mad.
I can understand.
You done got me mad.
Trebuchet's mad. This is an odd turn of events.
Don't like it when people.
Should go back and check how often I get mad versus how Trebuchet gets mad. Go on, I'll wait. Stay where you are on the episode. We'll be back. See you guys. I get madder way more than Trebuchet. This is weird. But I can understand, like, if she wasn't being used, if she wasn't on TV, if she wasn't being highlighted, I can understand being frustrated. Of like, hey, why you guys didn't do anything with me? Like, should I go work at AEW? Like, you can say whatever you want about the Revival threatening to quit
earlier.
But they were. And I have.
Hey, but and in I my, going, yeah. I want to defend them. I think that they were not doing anything with him.
No,
they were getting jobbed out. I really think that
they had a foot to stand on. It was toddler size, but they had a foot to stand on, you know?
You know what? I want to argue more, but that's honestly that's the best I'm going to get from you on that, so I'm just going to take it. But basically, when the Revival match, they had a tag match with the Revival, they cut to like a promo during the match. The promo meant nothing.
Yeah, no, I would have been pissed.
The Revival got hot about that, and I understand being like, hey, if this is all I mean to you, let me go work somewhere else. Sasha and Bayley have been featured heavily since they hit the main roster.
They've been getting promos.
They were
the first ever women's tag team champions.
Yeah. Or, like, in the last few months, like, I really don't understand this Sasha being a martyr about not being used. They pushed for those women's tag titles. They got them. Sasha has held several world titles. Honestly, Bayley deserves to be pissed more than Sasha. Bayley hasn't been used nearly as well as Sasha has.
No, I literally asked you. I'm like, did Bayley even win the women's title ever? I didn't remember.
She had a small run with the Raw one. Yeah. It was forgettable.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Sasha isn't as good as she thinks she is. I think she's being a big old martyr about this. Wasn't even on Raw. We'll get to Raw in a minute.
Yeah.
But like, she wasn't there.
Nope.
And I heard that she threatened to walk over it. She's posted a couple things on social media that are kind of cryptic and.
Yeah.
I really think that this is just the business the wrong way. Like, I really think there's times wrestlers get pissed and threaten to walk over not being used properly and bad booking. The Iconics deserve the moment they got at Mania. I think it was the right decision. Sasha and Bayley had their moment in Elimination Chamber. I get it's a smaller stage, but they were the first ever women's tag team titles.
You can't take that
tag
away
team champions. They pushed for those belts. They got them. I really don't understand.
You're not owed anything by Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon does not have to put you over at WrestleMania because you, quote, earned it. That's so much bullshit to me.
Yeah, I really think it's... I don't know if there's a disrespected tendency to the
You're not looking at the whole show. If you're only focusing on yourself, you don't understand what you're doing.
That's a new belt. They need different people to hold it. I really think that...
They need to keep it relevant.
I don't know that if it's meant to be disrespectful to the Iconics, but to act like that, those two don't deserve the belt. Here's the thing. If Natalya and Beth, I didn't want Natalya and Beth Phoenix to win the belt.
I didn't want it. I picked them because I thought
I didn't that's just want what it. But do. Honestly, I think that they're not great wrestlers, but I think that they deserve, especially for like as long as they've been there.
No, but like I said, they were back when it was not a great division.
Nia and Tamina, I also not great, but have really. I think any
they've been in the bit. They've stayed. Like, you know what I mean?
Tamina's been there for fucking ever.
That's what I mean.
Like, also, one of the longer tenured.
I think she was there during that.
Yeah, game, I think Alicia Fox still. I think it might even go. Currently, it might go Alicia Tamina.
Yeah.
And Natalya. It might. I think it's actually Alicia Natalya Tamina for longest tenured.
Yeah.
But no, I really don't like this. People are saying it's a work, and I don't know. Sasha's been known to talk out of pocket about that stuff. There was a few months ago, I want to say it was like Survivor Series or something last year, where I think Shawn Michaels had just started working for NXT, like just doing stuff. They had a great takeover.
Yeah.
I forget which one it was, but if I remember, I think it was probably the best one they'd had. Mm. And Muggles goes like, hey, follow that. And Sasha just goes, no problem. Like on Twitter, and then wasn't on the pay-per-view the next night.
That's so
it was
funny. That's
just
so funny.
The pettiest fucking nonsense.
Which takeover is the best one in your opinion? Which one do you know?
I don't remember. Okay. I'd have to go back and
that's
look.
Fine. No, that's fine. Get back to me.
It was one of the Gargano Ciampa main events that
makes sense. I like those guys.
If I remember correctly, it was because I don't remember which one it was. It was Gargano Ciampa main event, and it was the one where Ricochet fought Adam Cole for the North American title.
Okay.
So I would have to go back and see which one that was. To my knowledge, I believe that's the best one. I don't quote me on it, but I remember being real fired up after that one. But I remember Sasha saying that and being like, what the fuck? Why are you talking like that?
Yeah, first of all, she started in NXT. Like, she should, like I don't.
Everything seems like a dick measuring contest to her. Anyways, moving right along.
All
right. Kofi Kingston defeats Daniel Bryan
for
the WWE Championship. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love Kofi Mania. I'm
Kofi
so happy.
Mania running wild.
I am happy to say that front of the show Mike Logan is going to continue to watch pro wrestling because he said he was done if Kofi didn't win at Mania.
I remember hearing him, he was adamant. He was adamant about it. If Kofi doesn't win, he was done.
Months.
We're happy to still have you with us, Mike Logan.
Yes.
Logan! Logan! Logan!
You can go see him at the Garage Bar every Monday night.
Sure can.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You can see us every Wednesday night.
Hope Day Hilarity!
Every Wednesday
every
now.
Every goddamn Wednesday.
Every camel's favorite day.
Yeah. Hump Day.
Great match.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this was rated the high, like the Observer something had rated this as the highest match. I think it was like 4.5 stars.
I loved it. I loved it. It was great. It was amazing.
Really good match. Told a great story. Beautiful moments to see Kofi win. He'd bring his kids out there.
Watching this whole thing, watching them at the Hall of Fame was fun. Watching them was fun.
They did a great. Those guys are great representatives of BB. They're the Hall of Fame. They're goofing around, having fun.
If you want to promote family fun entertainment, just watch that. Like, oh my god, no, they're just having the time of their life. They're politically correct for the most part. The thing they do is just say booty. Like, yeah, they're all butt jokes.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of like lowbrow, but they're family friendly. They bright colors, kids love them. They dance around, have fun.
Butts are funny.
Yeah, kids love them. They're great in the ring.
Yeah.
They occasionally have some like insider jokes or something that get over with the other. They may be one of the best acts WWE has,
and I totally understand why they didn't break them up. I love that Kofi got the belt and they didn't break them up. They did it as the New Day.
No, I think that's the best way to do it. Kofi got the belt as a team. Now that said, I really think that the New Day is gonna get it.
I'm just pleased as punch here because I thought the only way that this would ever happen would be in WWE 2K. Swear to God.
No, I didn't.
I never thought I would see this. I'm so happy it happened
at Mania. It was like the best.
The best scenario. I'll put this up there with the Guerrero or the Benoit match.
I agree. This is a huge moment.
Feel-good moment. And this just brought me a ton of joy. And this is a WrestleMania moment that'll go down. Probably the highlight. One of the highlights of WrestleMania 35. Maybe not the highlight.
I think it definitely up there. I think it's good that he lost to Brian, or he beat Brian. They had a great match together.
Yeah.
It was the match itself was, remove the historical aspects of it. Mm-hmm. The match itself was very good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the New Day, Big E injured.
Yeah, well, Big E's been doing them splits, and I'm all like, I hope he didn't do it doing one of those.
That would be awful.
Because he was down there for like 90 seconds.
He did something to his knee. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
I hope I saw
him do the splits on Raw. They did on SmackDown. I'm like, that looks so painful.
Yeah, I would. That would be bad. I don't think that's what happened.
I hope that's not what it was. But that's a great spot.
But
by
the
way. I was gonna give it up for him, and then I heard he pulled something. I'm like, oh boy.
I do
push it too far.
I do see them kind of breaking up.
You think it's gonna be jealousy?
I think it'll be one of something to the effect of like Kofi's gonna be busy doing championship stuff, and I don't know. There's definitely gonna be some good attention. I don't see them staying. I think it may not be immediate, but I think with Big E injured,
yeah.
Kofi is champion. I think this really gives an opportunity for maybe Xavier to turn heel.
He can do it. He's got a ton of personality.
He does. No, I really think he's got the ability to do it. I think that, you know, it'd be really easy.
What about Xavier? He's got a nice ring.
He starts wearing like a jean jacket.
He's gonna hang out in the corner.
Wearing a kilt. I'm there for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't
know I wanted Xavier to cosplay as a Raven, but I do now.
Weirdly enough, I actually did already know that.
Oh, well.
Bit ahead on the curve on this one. No, I really see, like, you know, Xavier being like, all right, so Kofi's WWE champ now, and Xavier's hurt. Big E's just like, what do I do now?
I'm just here to play the trombone. For
yeah, am I just your bitch now? Because like the big guy's gone, and you're on to bigger and better things. I could see. Whenever they decide to take the title off Kofi, which I think you should get a nice little reign here. I don't see him being a year-long champion.
I get to see them drawing this out. Kofi will lose the title, and then he'll lose a couple of rematches, and then after that, Xavier just blasts him.
I can see Xavier costing him the title.
See that?
I can see that.
There's many things you can do with this.
I want them to slow roll this. I want it to be kind of a slow build. But, no, I think that ideally,
Xavier cost Kofi the title, and it leads to a blood feud between the two, especially if Big E's going to be gone for a while. I can see that being a thing. After that, United States Champion Samoa Joe defeats Rey Mysterio. And guys, Joe was not working hourly here.
Squash match, dude.
It was.
I love Samoa Joe right now. I love that he's just running people over. The United States title hasn't been this relevant in a long time.
No, Joe is fucking it's dangerous right now. It's the
best thing for it.
I really think that...
To go from the joke of R-Truth, like not like in the ring, but like he's a comedy act.
Sure.
And to go to the killer Samoa Joe, like, all right, this is serious business. Like, this is not ha-ha funny. I'm coming out here. I'm going to put you in the Kokita, and you're going to fucking just...
Joe is making the United States title look relevant. It's making Joe look like a real deal. And that was my biggest issue with Joe for a while was that...
He's got that NXT look in his eye where I just saw, like, they were hyping this one guy to, like, just make his debut, and Joe ran him over.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's what Samoa Joe should do. He took out a tag team. Like, why? Because he's Samoa Joe. You don't get what he wants. He's pissed off. He's going to come out and you're just going to... fucking choke you out.
I really hated how often Samoa Joe was doing jobs and kind of made you look silly, but even through that, he looked tough.
Yeah.
But I think him with the U.S. title, he is looking like a beast.
I want him to go on a major run.
He doesn't have the world title, but I want him making the United States title. I want him undefeated. I want him just beating dude night after night. It doesn't have to be like Goldberg short link matches, but I want him to be quick. I don't need Samoa Joe wrestling 15 minutes.
Samoa Joe 3 minutes with purpose is the best Samoa Joe.
No, we keep talking about that. When he comes to the ring, he's got that look in his eye. He's not playing the card. He just walking.
You guys have Taz had that look in his eye.
Walking fast to the ring, throw intensity. The belt in, like, get in.
That getting business done, like.
Samoa Joe.
Love it, man.
I was really afraid Samoa Joe was in a bad spot in the company where his time was limited.
I thought they were going to Bobby Roode him. I swear to God.
They've turned him around with his U.S. title push. I could see him eventually getting a world title. If they keep this momentum going, when the moment's right, honestly, Samoa Joe beats Kofi Kingston for the world title, that would get Samoa Joe some real fucking heat.
I would love that. Oh, my God.
Love that. No, it was a good quick match. Supposedly Rey Mysterio wasn't injured, but he's pretty, like, banged up.
Yeah, his knee was pretty bad.
Yeah, they didn't want him in the ring.
Before.
Yeah, they didn't want him in the ring too long, and I think that it got him some peace. It was Rey Mysterio's first WrestleMania back.
Oh, true.
I think it gave Samoa Joe a good rub, just like, oh, you wanted your Rey Mysterio moment? Eh, I choked him out.
Yeah. And honestly, it doesn't hurt Mysterio at all. First ballot Hall of Famer, just headliner.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio could do nothing but job for the next year. It will not hurt Rey Mysterio's career. Next up, Roman Reigns defeats Drew McIntyre. I, for life of me, can't remember if this match even happened.
Pretty sure I was smoking weed during this. Roman won, right?
Roman won. I think that was considered... I think we had, like, two matches that were, like, straight. Everybody had them. Yeah. I think Roman Reigns defeating Drew McIntyre was one of them. I could give a fuck about this feud.
I don't think Drew McIntyre just holds people interest. And then Roman's not great unless he's got... a reason.
Can we talk about how Roman Reigns is just...
Yeah, no, he's cooled off so fast, like...
So here's the thing. If people talk about the cancer being a work, and I'm not gonna feed that.
No.
But if it was, this really... It really fucking backfired.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the risk they were taking publicity-wise, if it was for how little momentum it gave Roman on the comeback...
Ugh.
I think initially fans were like, oh, Roman Reigns is back, that's amazing... And now Roman Reigns is back, and it was like, oh, yeah, he still can't talk, and he's still pretty bland in the ring.
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to put him in the main event with Seth and Brock, but they didn't do that. And
I'm glad they didn't do that. But I think that, that match is whatever, and I think I can see Drew going to SmackDown.
Probably.
I don't think Drew's going to have a lot of momentum on Raw. I think Superstar Shakeup could send Drew to SmackDown.
Do you see the lack of enthusiasm I have for that? I'm just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like,
yeah, no,
either one of these guys, like...
Nah, I don't care about Roman. I don't. And right. Drew McIntyre, I think, had some upside, but I don't know.
He shows spurts of goodness, and then he just fucking lets me down.
Sure.
He's working his way back up my shit list.
So, one of my favorite segments out of WrestleMania up next. The Doctor of Thuganomics returns...
to interrupt Elias's WrestleMania performance.
That was fun. I didn't know I wanted that.
I didn't think this was gonna, like, I was. So Elias does his, like, performance where he's, like, playing with other versions of himself, like, doing different instruments on the screen. Yeah,
he had a drum set.
There's a keyboard one, and
Elias, everybody's favorite band.
Yeah, and then there's, like, a Babe Ruth, like, promo.
Yeah, because they're in the Metrodome.
I think they're starting to call Cena the Babe Ruth of WWE. I think I've heard that thrown around a few times.
JBL would call him that.
Yeah, so we're all sitting. At this point, we're all fucking flying.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, did someone turn the channel?
I'm like, are we watching the MLB Network?
What's happening? And then basic Thuganomics hit, and we fucking pop.
I did not know that I wanted that, but I wanted that.
I
missed it. That is the best John Cena, in my opinion.
I think it was the most. It had the most character.
It
the most colorful.
I feel like he was having fun with it too. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, you know, he went in the back and was grinning, being a big old goofball about it, and it was really good.
If John Cena's rapping is not like the best ever, like I know you really.
I don't hate it, but I everything is a segment. Like it was a lot of fun, and no one expected that.
Yeah. So. Time for him to go on another title run, I think, right? The Doctor of Thuganomics never won the world title, did he?
Yeah, he did. I
know he won the U.S. title.
Would consider his initial beating JBL for the WWE title to still be that.
Okay.
By the time he went to Raw with the WWE title, it was like 3 months after that he really turned into Super Cena.
That's what I mean. Like, it was very, the shift was very quick after he won that title.
He brought out the spinner. The spinner bout was still considered Dr. Thuganomics, but wasn't long after that he kind of really abandoned that sort of thing.
Yeah, like 15 titles later, he was Super Cena.
Yeah, he's not winning that belt again.
Yeah, he is.
We
have a beer on it.
I accidentally bet that John Cena would die before he won another WWE title. I just said John Cena wouldn't win another title, not realizing that the only way I could cash in on that beer is when John Cena dies. And here's the thing. I know for a fact you and I are still going to be friends. He'll die. And everyone's going to be really sad. It's going to be a horrible day. You're going to bring me a Four Loko and be like, hey, here you go. Here's your prize.
Oh man,
he's not gonna win another title. Yeah, I'm getting that Four Loko.
I'm mad that I'm gonna win a Four Loko.
Next up, Triple H defeats Batista, no holds barred.
Yep, Triple H's career was on the line, and it will continue. And then Batista retired afterwards.
He did retire. This match was kind of for me
again for like the ninth time.
Yeah, I really don't feel like this match was that great. Triple H pulled his nose ring out with a pair of needle-nose pliers. That was going to happen.
Yeah, that was something.
This match was, I also feel like, kind of pretty forgettable. Mm-hmm. So your token Triple H hardcore match at Mania that he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was nice Batista got a little send-off. Definitely, I don't see Batista coming back to the ring after this.
He will.
I think he wanted one more.
He will. Don't you worry.
All right.
He's got to make some more Marvel movies, and then he'll be back.
I know you've been waiting patiently for this.
Oh, buddy, let's do it.
All right. You know what? Hey, I'll let you.
All right. Kurt Angle's farewell match ended on a bittersweet note as Baron Corbin defeated the Olympic hero. Yes, you heard me, you guys. Baron Corbin defeated Kurt Angle. You're hearing me. Baron Corbin is better than Kurt Angle forever. There's going to be no rematch. Baron Corbin is the greatest in-ring competitor on the roster right now, and he should have a gold medal now because he beat Kurt Angle. Just saying.
So who beat who?
The Lone Wolf defeated the man with the three eyes.
Who beat who?
Baron Corbin, the former general manager of Monday Night Raw, defeated Kurt Angle, a worse former general manager of Monday Night Raw.
Ooh. So wait,
I'm going to put this on repeat.
You're forever
and ever.
Forever! Forever! Forever.
just turning into Terry Funk over here.
So you're saying, is it the man that won the gold medal with a broken freaking neck,
Kurt Angle, freaking neck, yes,
lost his retirement match to Grand Rapids' favorite son, Baron
Corbin. God. It's wonderful. So
That's my favorite.
You guys.
They bring him up to that.
It's my favorite. Oh, it's so good. He's the best. He is the absolute best, man. And he did it with fucking buttons, you guys. Like, come on. You can't fucking just scoff at that anymore. It's the best thing.
So
it's the best thing.
If you'll go back and listen to the pre-show, the WrestleMania pre-show, I really didn't think this was going to happen. I wanted it to happen.
Oh,
didn't
man.
Think it was going to.
I love I thought it. You for can just sure, tell me how right I am.
I thought for sure that either he... Baron was going to lose really quick and Angle was going to fight somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Or somehow Angle was going to fight someone else and not Baron Corbin. Or Angle was just going to beat Corbin pretty unceremoniously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happened. Not only did Corbin win, he really wasn't in a lot of trouble in this match. He
beat him clean.
He beat him clean.
Beat him clean.
Pretty quickly.
He's so much better.
I mean, we weren't going to have a 30-minute match here. Kurt Angle can't go.
He can't go.
Kurt Angle can't go. But literally, Angle got a little bit of offense in. But like, Angle goes for the moonsault. Misses. Catches the end of days for his trouble.
One, two, three.
1, 2, 3, clean.
God,
and Corbin
great.
Is just grinning his ass off.
So good. Nobody interacts with the fans better. Nobody just... He gets it. He's got the it factor. Like,
but,
he's never in a hurry. He's just the best.
He's got pacing down. So... I feel like you were being needled a lot at WrestleMania before.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you were catching a lot of heat.
I definitely
You were one
was.
Of the few people that said Corbin would win.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to.
Yeah.
You were one of the few that did.
This was also one of the reasons I thought I was for sure going to walk away with the title. I'm like,
if this was more than one point, I think it probably would have helped you out a lot.
The women's tag titles really screwed me over, but it is what it is. It was WrestleMania.
Screwed by the Iconics, I don't allow
I could do worse.
I'm sure. but I wonder if you have like a message to anybody, the haters, that because you've been talking about Baron Corbin for a while.
Yeah, I definitely
I definitely I don't think he's as great as you think he does. I think he is. I definitely don't hate him as much as everybody else does.
Yeah.
I think he's good. Do you have a message to anybody? Because you've been a Baron Corbin guy longer than anyone I know.
It's true.
I really feel like Baron Corbin's greatly improved. I think he's really good, but I think you think he's amazing.
I do.
Better than I think he is, and you felt he's been that way the whole time, where I really think he's improved a lot. Message to the haters, Trebuchet.
Baron Corbin is the greatest. All I'm saying is, haters, you keep coming at Trebuchet, and I'm just going to continue to be right. You can mark it up in the right column. It's just all Treb over there. That's what we do. I tell you Baron Corbin's great. Baron Corbin is great. There's not a better heel on the roster right now. Go ahead. Name a better one. I'll wait. Time's up, humanoids. That's it. There isn't a better one out there than Baron Corbin. He's the top guy, and he's going to be your next WWE champion.
So you're thinking Baron Corbin goes to SmackDown?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Baron Corbin beats Kofi Kingston for the WWE title. Are you there for that?
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I'm here for that. I'm a big Baron Corbin guy. Like, everybody has been hating.
Honestly?
I'm like, oh, I don't want to see it. Baron Corbin doesn't deserve to be there. Kurt Angle should have a better opponent. Oh, kiss my ass, you guys. You're a bunch of humanoids.
Everybody said Kurt Angle should get a better opponent than Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle beat all those other guys on his reunion tour. He didn't beat Baron Corbin.
No, he did, because Baron's better.
Technically, not only is Baron Corbin better than Kurt Angle,
Baron Corbin's better.
AJ Styles?
Yep. Baron Corbin's
Samoa
better.
Samoa Joe?
Baron Corbin's better. That's math, people. That is math.
Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin has to be in title contention after that.
He better be.
He deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
After that match, Finn Balor defeats Bobby Lashley to win the Intercontinental Champion as the Demon.
As the Demon, yes. The Demon is still undefeated on the main card.
Yep. I feel like this match was pretty quick. I feel like they were trying to rush a little bit.
Yeah, well, WrestleMania is long, and I'm sure there may have been a little strapped for time.
Yeah, we were well into 11 o'clock at this point.
Yep. I was going to say something about this match. It's for the Intercontinental Championship, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It looked cool with the lights off.
Yeah, I would say that it was a cool match. I think it was pretty quick. I think it went the way everybody thought it was going to. I don't think anybody thought Lashley was going to win.
Leo Rush thought he was going to, but...
Yeah. I love Leo. Leo Rush is one of the best things on WWE television right
Absolutely.
Now. And then finally, Becky Lynch defeats Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair to win the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship. Let's start at the entrances.
Okay.
Charlotte Flair Woo!
Enters in a goddamn helicopter like her father did. It was a Starcade, right?
It was something like that. Yeah. I'm like, I know this. I know this very well.
It was, I mean, that was one of the coolest things. She enters via helicopter, steps out of the helicopter. Two people put like the robe on her. She makes her way down.
Yeah.
Rhonda comes out. Joan Jett is playing Rhonda in. Yep. Joan Jett still looking good at fucking 80 years old. Becky comes out to a huge pop, and then finally Charlotte enters, you know, after fucking walking down the entire arena.
Yep.
Not the best match in the world as far as in-ring stuff goes.
Yeah.
Much conversation about the finish.
Yeah, people are saying that it wasn't supposed to go down like that.
I don't know. So supposedly, Rhonda broke her hand during the match.
Okay.
Who'd have thought Rhonda wouldn't be safe? Apparently, so the finish comes via Rhonda gets like, Becky gets Rhonda like in a, almost like a crucifix kind of position.
Yeah, she rolls her up, put her shoulders
down. Yeah, her shoulder, I don't know if it was quite like a schoolboy pin, but something similar. And
crucifix is a way to, I would describe
crucifix,
it.
I agree. Yeah. Rhonda's shoulders come up during the pin.
Referee didn't see it.
Referee counts three. Now, referee not in great position for it.
Nope.
People say that it wasn't supposed to end that way, that supposedly Rhonda was supposed to tap out Charlotte or something.
I don't think so.
It makes sense to me that why they wouldn't do that. In my mind, I feel like this very easily could have been the finish of the match.
Yeah.
It did seem a little screwy that her shoulders came up, but I really don't think how long has Rhonda been pinned?
Rhonda hasn't lost
yet.
Yeah,
if you told me Rhonda didn't know how to be pinned, it's one thing if you're pinned in regular, hook the leg, you're flat on your back.
Yeah.
That's easy to stay down for. A crucifix is hard.
No, like, you got to get all your weight back, and you got to...
It would not surprise me if Rhonda didn't know how to do that right.
Yeah.
Who knows how to get pinned? Rhonda.
Was me. Rhonda. No more title. Rhonda.
WWE apparently fined that ref.
Really?
The ref blew that. Even if Rhonda didn't keep her shoulders down, the ref fucked that spot all up. Yeah. In the main event, historic spot.
Yeah.
I get why they fined him.
Yeah. They didn't fire him, at least.
No, I mean, I don't think you fire him for that. Shit happens. Yeah. But I think that they definitely made an example out of him. Because, I mean, that's something that's, I think it's irked Vince and a lot of promoters is like when the shoulders are up,
yeah,
you stop counting.
Yeah. Whether or not it's supposed to be the finish.
If the shoulders are down, you count it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I believe you lose
the sports element of it.
Yeah.
If,
Watts used to offer referees a bonus.
Hmm.
If you were in a match,
mm-hmm.
and if you're refereeing a match, and even if it was the right guy, but it wasn't the right spot to mm-hmm. finish the match on,
yeah.
and you counted the three, you got a bonus.
Nice.
Because it was meant to incentivize counting the pins.
Yeah.
And you go,
making the call right,
it's the talent's job to not put the heat on that ref.
Absolutely.
If the ref isn't counting when the shoulders are down, that's on the ref.
Yeah.
If your shoulders are down when they're not supposed to be, that's on you. And they would offer those bonuses because refs were like, I don't want to blow the finish. They're like, no, that's not your job to make sure the finish is right. Your job is to count the pins.
Yeah, your job is to look like you're refereeing the match and doing that.
So, I would say that this issue is probably a combination of Ron and I'm not going to be pinned correctly.
Yeah.
The ref was not in a good position.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if it would have been any other match, any other night, any other spot, it probably would have been overlooked, but this is
this was the main event of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, historic main event. Becky Lynch winning both titles. Rhonda's first. There's a lot of firsts here that the ref kind of muddled up. I really think that no one's gonna care. In a month from now, no one's gonna care if the finish looks screwy. They're gonna care if Becky Lynch won.
Yeah, like
it
seemed nitpicky to me. There's always gonna be those things that happen at Mania. It's not going to be a perfect show.
Not that big a deal. But yeah, it was a cool send-off. I mean, Becky Lynch winning.
Very, very deserved.
Huge pop. I agree.
She's the man. Like, she's been getting huge roars, and that's a good place for her. But we got to talk about it real quick that you were saying that there's no way all three faces get over here.
I really... You were saying it for weeks. I really did not think it was going to happen.
I know.
I will say that...
And it did. It did. We got Seth over... We got Becky over. We got Kofi Mania.
I really didn't think that Universal title was going to open the match. Or open the card. I think that they...
I think that the card was put together perfectly.
No, I agree. If they were... I didn't think they were going to do it. But if they... The way they did it, they positioned that card perfectly.
Honestly, like, that WrestleMania where Edge opened up, that was also put together really well. Like, I don't have a huge problem opening up WrestleMania with a big match like that.
No, I think
then you can also close it with also, the other one.
Also, because they get so many pre-show matches, that you're not going up to a cold crowd.
Exactly.
The crowd is sufficiently warmed up by the first match of the card.
Yep.
Because of pre-show matches.
And especially with all the titles, like if you have one title, that's one thing, but with that many, you gotta.
I have a hard time calling the world title match in the first, like, anything but the main event. I have a hard time calling the main event, but I also don't necessarily see why it's a big deal to not have a world title be a main event. I mean, think about UFC. How many world titles are there? They can't main event.
You're asking the wrong guy about
that. There's a lot, depending on the weight class. But. I don't have a problem with how it was done. I think they balanced it perfectly. I think they got all their big pops in. Obviously, Ronda had to go last. The Ronda, Becky, Charlotte.
Yeah, they announced it, so that was going to happen.
I think that if there was ever... I always said that I think the idea of putting a women as the main event of WrestleMania was a bad idea unless it absolutely deserved it, and this year it absolutely deserved it. I didn't want them shoehorned in there for the moment if it was not the most overmatch, but it was.
It's fine.
I could see an argument that Kofi might have been the match, but honestly, 3 weeks before Mania, we didn't even have the Kofi match.
Yeah.
So I understand why they did it. It worked great.
Really? Probably.
They paced that card really well.
Say this is the best WrestleMania since WrestleMania 30.
Oh, hands down.
That's what I'll say.
Was
probably better, but
I think that I mean, 30 is in my top five. This is,
yeah, 30, this is, 30, this is, 30 was a really good one.
This is
you,
in my
you had the end of the streak. Yeah. You had WrestleMania. You know?
I would have to say like, I think 19. This year's 30s.
20 was good.
20 was 21, good. 23
I went to.
23 was
so
good.
So that one's got a lot of.
Yeah, know. This. I mean, if I made a list of top fives, I'm pretty sure this one will make the list.
Yeah.
You want to go into Raw? You know, we're going a little long.
But it's WrestleMania.
It's WrestleMania. Hey, anywhere to be?
Just got to do my taxes, but fuck that shit. I'll do that later.
Yeah. Lock the goddamn doors. We're doing it. We're doing a long form.
That's right.
All right. We kick off Monday Night Raw with Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins in the ring together.
Yep. And this was awesome.
Seth Rollins.
They said they wanted to
Seth Rollins in the ring.
Take a page out of. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Seth Rollins starts the show gloating, and we get Kofi Kingston, and the fans fucking pop.
Yeah, but he said he wanted to take a page out of Becky Lynch's playbook from the night before and unify the titles, one world champ, and I want it. I want it a lot. But I knew there was no way we were getting to finish to this match. I'm like, there's no way.
I said because of Superstar Shakeup being the next week and know that we have one women's title, I said I gave it about a 30% chance of happening.
Yeah. Well, there's no way they're doing that match on Raw.
They might. It was the Monday after WrestleMania. If there was a Raw, I think all of the stars aligned for a real chance could happen. Not a likely chance, but a like I said, 30% chance.
I heard you. I gave it no chance.
So we're getting one world champion by the end of the night.
Yes.
So after that, we get Raw Tag Team Champions Ryder and Hawkins defeat the Revival for the second night in a row.
God, I love it so much. Top little guys.
Again, Hawkins wins via roll-up on the Revival.
Tag teams are garbage. God, I hope they get somebody in Superstar Shakeup. Just anybody.
So then after that, Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin have a little bit of a schmoz.
Kurt Angle wasn't supposed to be there. This pissed me off.
Yeah, I know. You were not happy.
I understand that if this was Kurt Angle's last night on Raw, it's fine.
You're fine.
It's fine.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Send him off with a feel-good moment.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing.
And it doesn't affect the record books at all.
Kurt Angle got a nice send-off at Mania, but I feel like if you want an opportunity for Angle to stand tall, which is very... WWE, like, retirement, you want the guy to go outside.
And the crowd like
this. Yeah, I've got no beef with Angle putting Baron in the ankle lock, because it wasn't a match.
It wasn't a match. It didn't matter.
The record books won't show it.
Nope.
fans got to be happy with Angle going home, or did they?
Yeah, exactly.
Because after Angle puts Baron in the ankle lock, we hear some music we haven't heard in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The Freak, Lars Sullivan, debuts.
Yeah, that popped you. You're like, I did not think we were going to see him ever. Especially since he shit the bed.
Yeah,
Raw after Mania, the biggest one.
So
they debut him. Yeah, really
so
interesting.
That's the thing, is that I didn't know he was going to be back. I really didn't think it'd be now.
Do you think shit in the bed was a work?
No.
I don't think so.
They spent a lot of time. I mean, so think about it. Initially, there were vignettes for him to debut.
Right.
And then there were vignettes for him to debut with all those other guys. So he's set to debut. Then the ratings take that big hit, and they're like, okay, we're going to debut a bunch of NXT guys with him.
Right.
And then Lars Sullivan, you know, I guess my understanding is he's been working at getting himself together since he didn't debut.
Okay.
Honestly, big picture, this is probably better for him. Okay. If he would have debuted with all his other NXT guys, he would have been
in the EC3 camp, dude.
Yeah, I mean, so think about it. So, with the exception of Lacey Evans, who's we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
Who are those guys like that debuted are really doing anything right now? Heavy Machinery.
Kind of pretty lady.
Gross.
All right. Well, it's just me now. So I mean, Heavy Machinery isn't doing anything. EC3. Really doing nothing. Nikki Cross is like over, but again, really not doing anything. I think I'm forgetting somebody. I might not be. Yeah, the initial bring ups, I really think Lars Sullivan was better to not be involved.
Yeah.
Comes out, puts Kurt Angle down, making him look like a big deal. I really think WWE's gonna have a lot of like monsters right now.
No, they don't. And, really
and Vince, know. Vince really like. I can see Vince really liking Lars.
No, I've seen his side. Like, damn, I wasn't really impressed with his moves. Like that headbutt was. But
I don't think he's gonna be great in the ring. He fits.
But if he's gonna be a monster,
he fits that bill of the monster that Vince likes. And my guess is that what you know him getting anxious, going home, having some problems. I really think that Vince, if he wasn't the monster, if Vince didn't see a lot in him. It probably would have been it.
Yeah.
It's a testament that to the faith Vince has in him. My understanding is from reading it, he doesn't really have any heat. They're like, shit happens. We'd rather you do this now than have the world title and do it.
Good point, yeah.
My understanding is he'd been going to therapy and stuff. Like he'd been putting the work in to kind of get his shit together. And they go, all right, well, if you're trying.
Final shot, pal.
Yeah, come out and give it your best. And we'll... we'll see what happens, and I think he impressed Vince. I could really, he's not gonna let someone finish Kurt Angle like that on his last night,
right?
If he didn't have faith in him,
exactly.
And they really made him look like a monster.
Yeah, and they weren't ready to cash in their chips. They've been hyping him for months.
Yeah, no, they've put a lot of hype into him. Even I mean, you're not there at NXT. He got like that monster push in NXT really? Too. Following by Alexa Bliss defeats Bayley.
Alexa Bliss is back in the ring.
Yeah, so my thought is that she's been cleared to wrestle. I think that they're concerned with she's so good on the mic, she doesn't have to wrestle to be over.
Right.
She can be an over carry. She's a lot like Elias in that, like, I think Alexa's better in the ring than Elias is. Yeah. But much like Elias, she can be over with the fans without ever having to be between the ropes wrestling. She's good on the mic.
I feel like she wants to be in the ring, though.
No, she does. I think the sense I get from it,
she really enjoys it.
She wants
that stuff.
I think that it's a thing where she had a couple concussions really close together.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, so if Alexa can be over without wrestling, let's give her some time.
Give her a show. Because
you really don't want someone getting concussed that quickly to get
no.
She's
concussions more, breed concussions.
Yeah, if she needed time to heal. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to cool her character off, but fortunately, I would say that her in-ring stuff isn't bad, but her mic work is second to none in the women's division.
It's the best.
She
hosted WrestleMania. That's not a small deal.
Yeah.
Like
honestly,
like, The New Day did it. The Rock did it. Like
so, you've got Becky and Alexa are like the two like I would say they're pretty much on par with each other. They're two really good talkers in the women's division. Charlotte's up there too.
Yeah,
I don't think she's quite with them, but she's definitely number three.
Yeah,
Carmella can talk. I guess doesn't really say anything important, but can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody out, like...
I'm thinking.
Yeah. I would say that if there's one area Sasha's above average in, her mic work isn't awful.
Yeah, she can talk.
She doesn't... I mean, all this on the boss stuff, like
she's,
that...
She's ratchet, it's, but she's
it's tired. Yeah. Sasha is ratchet. Yes, she is. Alexa beats Bayley clean. Sasha's nowhere to be found.
Yep. This is Sasha running her mouth off. That's what this is.
That's a bad harbinger. That's bad.
Yeah.
Bayley loses clean after losing the tag titles. Sasha's nowhere to be found. I really think that WWE took the revival seriously when they threatened to walk out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, like, a couple other people threatened, too. Like, you know... Mike and Maria Kanellis threw me out. Where are they now?
Maria was in the battle royal.
Maria was first one eliminated from the royal.
Actually,
the battle royal.
Shocked to see her out there though.
Yeah, first one to be eliminated from the battle royal. Kind of was in the dumb spot.
Yeah, is Mike Kanellis in 205 Live?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I don't.
I always forget that guy's small.
Yeah,
he looks big.
He's very toned.
Yeah,
very toned.
But yeah, I don't really see them doing anything, which is a shame because I like him as a person.
Man, if he would have been around like 20 years ago, he would have been Big Stevie Cool.
Oh, for sure.
Run around with the divas, just getting beat all the time. That's what he would have been. I don't know if there's a spot for him in this WWE.
In WWE, probably not.
Unfortunately, he's good in the ring. I enjoy the character, but I don't know if
he was big fish. He was big fish in a small pond, and I think in TNA and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think he's got a big upside in WWE, unfortunately. But like, I think that the revival kind of got something. You know, when they prove their point, I really think Sasha's gonna get punished for it. I don't think they'll release her, but I really think she made a power play that they're not going to let her have.
Right.
And I my understanding is she has heat, like, on with other wrestlers. Because
we talked about her already a lot. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like it. I think you should always be trying to put new talent over via Terry Funk in his ECW days, man.
For sure.
Like, you need a business for people to come back to. Like, you need to keep it going.
No, what the only thing I wonder is if we're going to set up a Sasha Alexa feud, because they've kind of been going at each other online lately, and they had before.
Okay, well, I know who I'm picking in that freaking feud.
Yeah, I mean, so they actually got like, I think a couple days ago was Sasha like screenshotted basically Alexa's are blocked on Twitter or whatever.
Okay,
and basically Sasha's like, are you afraid? And Alexa's like, no, you're a toxic fucking person. I don't want to talk to you. really, like, no soul that have, like, she's like, no, I'm not afraid of you. You're just an awful to be around. And it's hard to know because usually when people, like, wrestlers go at each other on Twitter like that, usually it's a sign of things to come. Sasha's just known for picking fights.
Jeez.
But I do.
She should come at you at Showtime Shows. I'd like to see that.
I don't.
Twitter feud go down.
I want to fight with Sasha on Twitter. I don't want to deal with the millions of humanoids that follow her. Like, guys, guys, she's not gonna have sex with you. Stop. Stop it. Get help. Just saying.
That's funny.
But if there is like a story, if this is going anywhere storyline wise, I think Sasha Alexa would be the place. I don't likely see that, but that's like the alternative.
Okay.
Lacey Evans attacked Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch.
That was fun.
Comes out to give her victory speech.
She did, and then she was leaving.
Yep. Yeah, and leaving then, Lacey Evans comes.
Lacey Evans music, and she met her at the bottom of the ramp, and bam! Oh,
she kind of gave her a grin, like
the right hand heard around the world.
The women's right is what the woman's right. I think is what she calls that.
Okay,
she throws a mean fucking punch.
I was like, man, she clocked her right under the chin there.
Yeah, they had a good little pull apart there, and
it was good.
It didn't. I mean, Becky winds up with a disarmer, but due to where they are on the stage, Lacey Evans kind of slips out.
Yeah.
It made Lacey Evans
was
good.
Wrestling in, like, a dress and, like, heels and stuff, too. Yeah. Like, that should not be
she's
easy.
She's fucking tough.
That could not be easy to do.
I was disappointed that Lacey Evans didn't debut in the Women's Battle Royal. I had her pick to win.
This was fine.
No, that's the thing is,
she went right after the Women's Champion.
I was disappointed that she didn't win it.
Yeah.
But what followed was like, oh, no, that's fine. If you want to make that her debut instead of her swinging at Becky.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that. No, it was like people, you know, certain people at the party talking about, like, oh, we buried Lacey Evans by not even having her in the Battle Royal. Really? Really?
How?
Really?
How did we bury her?
She came out and took a swing at Becky Lynch and
really buried her.
Slipped out of the disarmer.
Jeez, I don't. Yeah, exactly. She didn't even like tap out like on the ramp.
No,
like,
she didn't even pull her apart. She was on the ramp. She kind of slipped down the stage. Yeah. She escaped.
But no, it was a good little spot. Yeah, there's a picture here. She clobbered her.
Yeah, that was a good right hand. I really enjoyed it.
Next up, Aleister Black and Ricochet defeat Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable taking the more heel turn, sort of,
I don't see this team lasting.
No,
they said they were going to revamp everything and come at it, like, new. And
we're going to do
and
what
this
we...
This is just going to implode.
We're going to do what we have to do, but
we're,
yeah, it's
we're going to get that Roode Gable feud.
Chad Gable eats the pin. Bobby Roode, you know, kind of glaring at Gable. I guess, like, even after the match, they gave, like, an interview, like, no, really, we're going to do what we got to do, and... Yeah,
I thought he was going to turn on him that raw.
I thought he was going to turn too. So my thought is on this: Aleister Black and Ricochet get a win, which they desperately need after losing all three tag matches in 7 days. So I guess we're sticking with them as a team. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable setting up to break up. That's good because I don't really have any interest in seeing them be a heel tag team. I don't want to see them as a tag team at all.
No.
And as a heel, like if Bobby Roode's a heel, I need him to be Robert Roode. I need him, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I totally understand what you're saying. Like, Bobby Roode, I don't need him in a tag team at all. I need, unless he's rolling around with James Storm, I don't need it. That's the only guy,
like... Honestly, I don't, like, I like Beer Money, but I also don't want to see that right now either.
No, not Bobby right now. I'm not asking for it right now.
Yeah, eventually, that'd be fun. But Bobby Roode needs to be a heel and needs to be a singles act if he wants to go anywhere in the company.
Yeah.
I really feel like Bobby Roode as a tag team wrestler has really been underutilizing him.
Absolutely.
If WWE doesn't want to do anything with Bobby Roode as a singles, he should AEW. He could be a thing there.
Oh, absolutely.
I just
don't want him to land on Impact. I don't want that for him again.
No, I don't think he'd do it. I really don't think he'd do it. I think he's pretty soured on all that.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley attacked Dean Ambrose in Dean Ambrose's final WWE match.
Question mark?
In fact, the fact that WWE keeps saying it's his final match leads me to believe it may not be.
Yeah.
But
if he jumps on him, like, this Monday, I will not be surprised.
Sure.
And for the first time in a while, they were really referencing the marriage between Dean and Renee.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? So...
They really made that an angle.
Because they talk about, you know... Renee, how do you feel about Dean leaving? And Renee's, you know, not sure about it, kind of references it. They've been, like, saying, like, hey, Renee, what's going on with Dean? She's like, I don't really want to talk about it. You know, this is private, you know, kind of alluding that's a thing. But then they basically have Bobby Lashley murder Dean Ambrose on the announce table in front of Renee.
Yep.
Renee goes backstage for a few minutes. Comes back out eventually. But I kind of hope that Ambrose is done.
I don't think so.
Ambrose hasn't been giving good work. I think Bobby killing Dean Ambrose here.
Yeah.
Looks good for Bobby. If it gets Renee Young off commentary, that'd be good too.
No, stop that. Hang on. She's fine.
She's not though.
She is.
When she started, she was all right. But guess what? She hasn't progressed at all. I wanted her to get better.
I do not agree.
I would say that. I mean.
The commentators in WWE are not great. They're not us by any means, but everybody available, I'd keep Renee in.
That's
like,
fair.
My thing is this.
You know, you're right. So here's the thing is I don't like Renee on commentary, but I don't like anyone on commentary. If you get rid of Renee, who's going to take her place?
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody good. I want them to improve commentary, I guess is more what I'm saying. I don't think she's going to get better, but I also don't think – the only person you could keep on commentary right now that doesn't suck – because Michael Cole, I've heard Michael Cole is like they're like edging him out the door.
Okay,
it's not gonna be it's not gonna be quickly. Michael Cole's wrapping up. He wants to. He's been WWE for goddamn.
Dude, he's been
20,
on the road
20
forever.
Years.
Yeah,
he doesn't take time off
at all.
Corey
but Gerson, no, we were watching Mania, and when Lawler was doing that match, I'm like, man, this is great. Like,
I think Corey Graves is the only guy that you could keep on commentary. He has some improvement to do, but I think he's the only guy that. Commentary seems natural for.
Yeah.
Byron Saxton, fire him. Fucking.
You really don't like Byron.
The SmackDown guy whose name I refuse to remember.
Tom Phillips,
Rich Brennan, fucking any of those guys. Abraham Washington.
All right.
Just get rid of all of them. They're bad.
hire us. We need the money.
We do need the money. Next up, Intercontinental Champion Finn Balor defeats the returning Sami Zayn. Boy, let me tell you, I was happy for this.
So was I. I was happy to have called Sami Zayn coming back. I did that on this podcast here. Definitely did. And Sammy turned on the fans.
So, yes, Sammy comes out, you know, all pumped to be there. Fans are excited to see him. Balor comes out, beats Sami Zayn, which we thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, why is Sami Zayn losing his return match, even if it is to Finn Balor?
Yeah.
But then it becomes clear, Sami Zayn is just sick and tired of the fans.
Yep.
And I'm fucking there for it.
Yeah, me too.
And he came
out on SmackDown and did the same thing.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, his thing on SmackDown was quick, but I mean, I really thought the promo heel Sami Zayn gave was really good.
Yeah.
He loses the Finn, he's sitting in the ring, you know, he grabs like the mic, he's like still like crouching, you know. I really thought like coming out and wrestling me would cure what ails me.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Nope.
He's mad. He's just bitter.
He's got the humanoid tab. I love it.
It was so good.
Yep.
And I really think that there's big upside there. We might, because with this return shake, we could get heel Sammy versus face Owens for the first time.
We'll see. Well, I doubt it.
I don't know. It's possible. Undertaker. We were discussing like Raw returns and stuff. And you said that Sami Zayn comes back.
Yeah.
You said that's the biggest return of the night.
Yeah.
I said not likely. Then Sami Zayn cuts the promo, and I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like Sami Zayn returning was fun, but I was like, there's going to be something better.
Uh-huh.
Then he cut the promo. I was like, I don't know how you beat that.
Exactly.
I was happy to see Sami back, but Sami Zayn cutting that promo was like, that's fucking good. I really want to see where this goes. This is going to be good TV.
Yeah,
no, I don't know what.
I was pretty much doing a victory lap.
I was like, no, dude, you're right. I don't think he can beat that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it up for you.
Yeah.
Elias comes out, says, next man interrupts me is a dead man. Bong. And I was like,
words that'll go down in infamy.
I was like, hey, Treb. You're like, yeah.
I go all over my face. Won't be the last time. I've never been wrong. You know that.
Yeah. Taker comes out, hits Elias with a choke slam.
And a tombstone.
Yeah.
The big boot was dope.
It was good. My guess is we're just leading into whatever the next Saudi Arabia thing is. Taker will probably wrestle Elias. The match will probably be short because Taker can't go anymore. But it was what it is. I got a good pop out of the fans.
Yeah. And the main event on Monday Night Raw.
Main event, I would call this a debacle. Seth Rollins versus Kofi Kingston.
Interrupted by the bar.
Interrupted by the bar for no real reason.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why?
And they made it into a tag match. This is just, like, the thing I've been bitching about on Raw and SmackDown for a while. I hate these, like, matches where, like, oh, we're feuding, and then, oh, we'll be friends right now. Like,
this seems so throwaway. I don't need them to unify the belts, but I don't know why you would tease it, have it interrupted by the bar.
Just to put it in your head.
It's interrupted by the bar, then we do the tag team match, which obviously Seth and Kofi win.
Well, it did give the bar heat on SmackDown. They came out to a plethora of booze.
They came out to some heat, but like, there's no... I said Monday, if they give a good reason on Tuesday why this happened, I'll be fine.
They didn't know.
They didn't give a good... Like, why did the bar come out and jump them? Oh, we're just bad guys. If it was going somewhere storyline wise, I'd be fine. That
they were
going
to be running with Daniel Bryan or something.
Just something to make it seem not so random.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, we're bad guys. That's what we did. And I don't know.
Let's go to SmackDown. We're done talking about that.
I really, really wanted them to present a better something.
I know. They're there.
SmackDown opens. I actually need a few more theirs.
There.
Thank you. There. SmackDown opens with Kofi Kingston celebrating with the WWE title. Cool setup.
Yeah. The rainbow of balloons.
Yeah, like, it was pretty.
Pancakes on every corner and just, yeah, it was fun.
Big E did the splits again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we talked about that.
The bar comes out and says they ruined the match because they felt like it.
Yeah.
Bad
guys. We do bad guy things.
Drew McIntyre comes out to join them.
Yeah. They made a friend. 3-on-3 match.
Yep. We had a couple of Raw guys on SmackDown, which, apparently the reason for that was Styles got hurt at Mania.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Styles got hurt at Mania, went home. Also, I guess Bryan went home after Mania. I don't know if he was hurt
Well, he was on Raw the next night, so.
Bryan was on Raw?
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah.
Didn't he wrestle Kofi?
On Raw?
To unify the titles, didn't they?
That was Seth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm I got off track there. It's been a long episode, guys. It's been a long episode.
You need a break, buddy?
No, I'll be fine.
Timbits, anything?
We're hanging
out. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
So it sounds like Brian went home after Mania. I don't think he was hurt. I think he just... Honestly, I could see him taking a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
He's been on the road constantly since he came back.
Yeah.
Got a kid at home. They're probably like, take a month.
Yeah.
Which he should have. I think they should do that more frequently. Hey, take a month.
Yeah.
So he was gone. Styles was hurt and Mysterio was still banged up. So they're like, we got a couple of glaring holes. Let's get some Raw guys out there.
Yep.
So we book McIntyre in the bar versus The New Day in the main event. Ali, Ricochet, and Aleister Black defeat Andrade, Shinsuke, and Rusev.
My favorite part of that match is that Ali won with the 450.
He sure did. You were actually saying that the night before. You're like, why does no one win with the 450 anymore?
Yeah. That move should be a finish.
Ali's got big upside.
I'm like that they haven't stopped pushing him. They're still
Glad him getting hurt there. I mean, obviously, I think it definitely hurt him a little bit, but he still seems relevant.
Yeah.
And honestly, him getting hurt was the best thing that happened to Kofi, because I don't think any of that would have happened.
None
of that was going to happen. After the match, Orton comes out, RKO's Ali.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
And then after that, Kevin Owens comes out and stuns someone.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
Wasn't sure which one it was. It might have been Rusev.
Rusev, I think it was Rusev.
Rusev was selling it, so it makes sense. Maybe leading to an Randy-Kevin feud?
Yeah.
RKO versus Stunner.
Oh, okay.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that being what they run with after Mania. Because I think, Backlash is coming up or whatever. Or Money in the Bank is coming up. I don't really want to see Randy versus Kevin. I don't really want to see Randy versus anybody.
Oh, because he's stale?
Yeah, I mean, the fucking... AJ versus Randy was the match no one gave a fuck about.
I know,
in Mania.
I know. It's funny to me that there's been two WrestleManias have gone by, and I have not cared about either AJ match. And I'm a big AJ Styles mark.
What did AJ do last year?
Fucking shit the bed with Shinsuke?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like...
Yeah, I like AJ Styles as a talent. I still think he's one of the best in the world. I think his WrestleMania stuff's been pretty
lackluster.
I think his best match at Mania has been the shit he did with Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Yeah.
Shinsuke shit the bed last year, and I really think you can't. Randy Orton's not giving good matches. You're not going to get anything good on Randy.
I've seen Orton. We've seen it.
Yeah, it's
not going to do anything.
He's got six moves. He's a WWE wrestler. He's fairly safe.
Yeah,
he's good on the mic. He cuts the promo you want him to cut.
Yeah,
and he's a WWE wrestler and not a whole lot of exciting going on. I think people are pretty tired of it. That said, I do like the way he wears his sweatshirts.
I definitely do not.
I
call the fashion police.
Sleeveless sweatshirts are the best.
Fandango, Breezy, help me out here. Get Randy Orton in his sleeveless sweatshirt.
Samoa Joe comes out. R-Truth and Carmella in the ring celebrating her win. Samoa Joe comes out, chokes out R-Truth. Braun Strowman comes out and punks out Samoa Joe.
Yep.
I think that was probably just to lead some speculation into where each of them will go during this British shakeup.
Yeah, there's they're leading up to that.
I don't anticipate this. There actually is going to be much crossover here. Joe got punked out by Braun a little bit, but didn't look bad.
Yeah. No, I liked it. That'd be pretty interesting. If Braun goes to SmackDown, that'd be fun.
The Iconics defeat the Brooklyn Bells to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team titles.
So they are undefeated as champions. So
they
far.
Sure are.
Just in case you're keeping score at home, I am.
Apparently the Brooklyn Bells are an undefeated tandem.
Yeah.
They were some indie darlings, if you will. I don't know.
Absolutely. I've never seen them lose on WWE until Tuesday.
That's fair. Shane McMahon comes out and addresses the WWE Universe. Selling his injuries from Sunday. I like that
selling his injuries.
Wasn't doing a whole lot of dancing.
Yep. He really let Greg Hamilton have the business.
Oh, he did. He was trying to fire him.
Yep.
If he didn't put some spirit into best in the world.
They're really going to make Hamilton a face here and Shane a heel doing this. And they did have a little CM Punk chant, too.
Shane
just shrugged him off.
Yeah, he was just, I think he gave him, like, a really or something.
Yeah.
CM Punk has said in interviews he feels like he's getting needled.
Oh, absolutely. I feel that way.
He thinks they're picking at him.
I do, too.
It's whatever. I don't think CM Punk's ever coming back, and I think they're going to needle him whenever they want.
Do you like that they keep bringing the trophy back?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'd rather get really... I think that's a really good prop for...
It reminds me of Owen Hart and his slammy. He brought that thing fucking everywhere.
I am not a nugget.
Yes, he was.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change. I was like 6 when that happened. I don't know how I know how they know all this shit.
That was fun.
I really am interested to see where this goes. I really thought that WrestleMania would kind of be it for this feud, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be.
Yeah.
So my guess is this maybe at Money in the Bank we get Shane McMahon versus The Miz, where Miz gets the win.
Cool.
To kind of end this thing. I don't feel like that. I feel like this feud has a shelf life. We're getting close to the end of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of hope like Greg Hamilton like calls Shane McMahon the match or something.
Yeah. Well, if they're gonna fire me anyways, here you go.
Yeah. Next up, the Hardy Boys, spelled with a Z,
yeah,
defeat the Usos to win the SmackDown Tag Team titles before Lars Sullivan comes out and destroys them.
Yeah. I like that the Hardys won the titles. Like I said, the Hardys are always a legitimate threat. They should have been on Raw, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I do think...
we've done a whole episode
of
I do
think putting them on SmackDown
this
is an interesting position.
Superstar Shaker coming
again,
up.
But then
like,
again, they've already been the Raw... They've already won the Raw Tag Titles together, haven't they?
Their debut they did, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess like... SmackDown ones on them, lets them have, but I don't know. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It was a fine match. I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Again, my guess is Usos going to go to Raw. That's
they need it.
I think that it's well done. I think the Usos, I think WWE knows the Raw tag division is lacking, and I think the Usos could save it.
Yeah, I would love to see the
Usos. I really think the Usos versus
open up the penitentiary on Monday nights.
I think the Usos versus the Usos versus the Revival would be a good match. I know you don't feel that way.
I'll let you say that.
Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans get into it again.
Oh baby.
I really think this is gonna be a fun. I don't anticipate Lacey Evans going over, but they're making her look good here.
Yeah.
I like that so everybody was like, why is Lacey Evans just coming to the ring doing like the strut? And going away, oh, it's Emmeline. Nah, here's the thing.
It's not Emmeline.
What we're doing is we gave Lacey Evans this identity of the Southern Belle that looks non-threatening and seductive and charming and the sassy Southern Belle, which doesn't hit the tongue right, but whatever. But then it's such a stark comparison when you actually see her start fighting.
Yeah.
And I think it was really good slow build character because it shows she has both.
Yeah.
She does both things. It's well documented. They picked a good spot for her. I didn't know what they were doing, but I think this is fine.
Yeah. They may have a match at Money in the Bank. Wouldn't be surprised.
I would see her debut match at a pay-per-view. I would see that happen. The New Day defeat Drew McIntyre and The Bar. Interestingly enough, Drew McIntyre gets pissed and just leaves halfway through the match.
Oh.
Just decides he doesn't want it. But before the match even gets started, Sami Zayn's music hits.
Yeah.
Comes out dancing and just goes...
Cut that promo.
You guys aren't even worth it. And just like, goes to the back. Like,
yep.
It was great.
I love new Sami. I like old Sami Zayn too. I'm a big fan of Sami Zayn.
Big fan of Sky Kid Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the match closes. I really feel like both episodes were good. I feel like both main events were a little lacking.
Yeah, no, everything up till the main event I was there for.
Yeah.
Well Raw's had a main event I wanted to see, but then they turned it into the tag match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were close.
Interestingly enough,
this may go down as our longest episode ever here, Showtime.
Oh, for sure.
And you think this should bring us to final thoughts here?
Yeah, yeah.
Final thoughts, Showtime.
Yeah, I would say that I think that we have to dispel a rumor here because... The Monday, I would say that WrestleMania was fantastic this year. Yes. I think both Raw and SmackDown after didn't quite live up to the Raw. So, it was always the Raw after Mania was the big one. SmackDown
after. What's your favorite Raw after Mania moment?
That's a good question.
You're going to meet a Sean Connery? Well, I'm going to offer you.
Didn't CM Punk win the title after Mania?
I know Dolph did. I know.
I know there were a couple of. I know there's been cash-ins after Mania that were good. The Paige one was a big one.
That one was probably my favorite.
God, damn it. I feel like there was a really good debut after Mania that...
I'm like, you can get back to me next
week. I will let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really think that this year's Raw after Mania, it wasn't bad.
No,
but it didn't quite live up to that legacy.
Yeah.
And I feel like this we've tried to push the SmackDown after to be equal to the Raw after, and this week's SmackDown was pretty forgettable.
Injuries attributed to that a little bit.
For sure. I think that we didn't spread out debuts enough. Like, nothing on SmackDown seemed too shocking. A couple things on Raw were.
Yeah.
So Raw was a little bit lacking for after Raw, and then because we've wanted to put SmackDown after on par with Raw after, it looked even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad episode of SmackDown. Didn't live up to the legacy they wanted to give it. Mm-hmm. Superstar Shakeup this week will be really good.
Yes. Please give Raw tag teams. Please.
Yeah, I
please.
we should do something for like Raw and SmackDown. Maybe earlier podcasts kind of cover the picks or whatever. But
we'll see. We'll discuss it.
We will. But no, it was a fantastic WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to the Superstar Shakeup. It's been a fantastic time. My name is Chad Showtime Schultz, and I need to know better.
He definitely
have
does.
A good night.
Yes. So my final thoughts here are. We're going to try to harness the power of The Undertaker before next week to see if we can resurrect some of our lost comrades here. Hopefully we'll get Mo and Robert and some other people back on the show. WrestleMania was amazing. I'm really glad that went off without a hitch. I had a great feeling afterwards, just that, oh man, we did it, everybody. Good job. And look forward to Superstar Shakeup next week. Follow me at TrebucheLOL. Follow Chad at Showtime Schultz. And... have a good night, everybody. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.